Blog Talk Radio.
Getting naked on stage and listening to the music, because back when that play came out and that song rocked, everybody on stage, I think, was either naked or they had really scantily clothes. But anyway, that's what the song reminds me of. Hi, everyone. This is Bonnie Albers on air, and today is Astrology and Atlantean Life Card Day. And that's the music you hear. That's what we rock in with this show. And I just get all tingly when I hear about the moon coming up and every, you know, Venus is in the seventh house, because the seventh house, you know, is love. Anyway, I want to say hello to everyone. I want to thank everybody for being here. Before I put Ron, and we have Kelly on with us today, before I put them on, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the chatters for being in chat. I know that Ron's really excited because I was not here last week. And Kelly, I think Dream Master 1 is getting his reading today, of which, am I right, Kelly?
Yes, and that would be Dennis, okay, and Dream. He is with us in chat, and he's waiting.
I know. Well, listen, give us about 20 minutes, Dennis, and we're going to rock with your chart. So everyone, I'd like to introduce my two co-hosts. You know Kelly. She'll be on at 2 o'clock, but she's also helping me to bring me back up to speed since I wasn't here last week with this show. And our favorite house astrologist, Ron Cole. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. Hey, listen, what is this about? I'm sure Ron was excited that I wasn't on last week. I missed you. And no offense to you, Kelly, either. You're both wonderful.
No, none taken.
That's so sweet. I love the love, guys. You know, I just have to tell you, though, you know, Kelly is such an unbelievably wonderful astrology. She loves astrology. She rocks astrology. She even does astrology herself. Even her cards, correlate with astrology. But the two of you are so goodly, so perfectly paired on this show that I am in honor of being with you guys. So I love you. I want to let you know you can get a hold of Ron Cole if you want a reading. His readings are 2.5. So I won't even tell you how long. He rocks the house in his astro readings. I have them, been getting them for years. And you can reach him at livingastro@aol.com. Kelly, if you put that up for everybody in chat, so that they might not understand me because I talk so fast, that would be great. And Kelly Coulter, and she will give you her phone number, how to get a hold of Kelly. But anyway, Ron, hi, how are you?
Well, hello there with this wonderful Leo moon today. This ought to be a great show.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I have to do one thing. Did everybody know that's Leo? I had to do it because Ron will tell you I have 6 planets in Leo. I think it was 6. One, yeah. Is it 5 or 6? 6.
It's 5, and I thought of that when I mentioned the Leo moon.
Oh, yes, and I'm roaring today. So thank you for mentioning that. But, you know, we want to know about this full moon because this is my full moon. So go ahead, please.
Well, everyone, we are going to have a full moon this upcoming Sunday, March 16th. And if you're listening to this show live, then it's coming up, or if you're listening to it right up to that day, this full moon will be in Virgo. Now, here's a little tidbit that I want to teach everyone as to how to determine where the full moons are. They are always in the sign directly opposite the sign the sun is in. And before I even go into the full moon, let me just explain that there are 6 sets of opposite signs. And I'll give them to everyone now so they can write them down or remember them. And then I'll show you how this works in pertaining to the one coming up this particular weekend. Aries is opposite Libra, the first one. Taurus is opposite Scorpio. Gemini is opposite Sagittarius. Now, all of these are 6 signs apart and 6 months apart in the calendar. Cancer is opposite Capricorn. Leo is opposite Aquarius. And the final one is Virgo is opposite Pisces. Now, that's the one we're going to be talking about now because the sun is in Pisces. And it will be in Pisces all the way through and past Sunday. In fact, the next day is St. Patrick's Day and beyond. It'll still be in Pisces for about 4 more days after the full moon. So whenever we have a full moon when the sun is in Pisces, that means the moon will be in Virgo, the opposite sign of Pisces. And when you know those sets of oppositions that I've just given to you, you can determine without even having to look at an ephemeris, which is a list of planetary placements, or even having to consult with an astrologer to find out where the full moons are. And we get a full moon in each of the zodiacal signs throughout the months of the year. So this is Virgo's honor. Now, a lot of people get confused because they think, well, Virgo, that's way around there like Labor Day in September. Well, that's when the sun is in Virgo, but we have to realize the sun is on the other side of the zodiac right now. It's in Pisces. And so whenever there's a full moon, the sun and moon sit opposite each other on either side of the earth. And we can determine that this is the Virgo full moon, the one and only Virgo full moon of the year. And it's occurring Sunday at 1:09 p.m. Eastern time. So whatever time zone you're in, you could adjust it from Eastern time forward or backwards. And it's going to be occurring at 26 degrees Virgo, 2 minutes. So now here's the interesting thing. We actually can meditate and focus into the energy of each individual full moon and have the power of that full moon have a dynamic influence with us, around us, and in our consciousness. This is the one and only Virgo full moon of the year, and Virgo is the maiden of the harvest. You will often see her described as a female figure who is holding a grain or several shafts of wheat and maybe an ear of corn, and she's pulling out the improper kernels, the ones that are deformed or the ones that are decayed, and she's keeping only the pure, well-proportioned kernels. And that means that she's keeping the healthy food for human or animal consumption, and she's getting rid of that which is imperfect, that is harmful or would not be nutritious to the human or animal body. And so that's why Virgo is associated with organization and perfection, because she is the perfectionistic maiden of the harvest, and her duty is to separate that which is edible and that which is not so healthy as being edible. Now, there is other images of Virgo throughout history. She's associated with the goddesses Demeter and Ceres. In Greek times, she was known as Demeter, and some call her Demeter, but it's the same basic spelling, D-E-M-E-T-E-R. And in the Roman times, she was known as Ceres, C-E-R-E-S. And these were both the same goddess, the goddess of the harvest, the goddess of the crops, and the goddess of the cultivated field, and the goddess associated with nature. And she was in ways an image of Mother Nature. Yes,
Well, I'm the goddess of beauty, so which one would I be?
You'd have to wait till there's a Libra or Venus full moon. That's coming up with energy. Venus is another powerful sign, but that would be associated with Libra, which is, by interesting thing, the next full moon we're going to get. But she happens to be, in a way, our direct link to what we kind of think of as Mother Nature. Now, interestingly enough, in the Northern Hemisphere, where I'm sure most of us are living and hearing this the show today or listening to it in the future, her work is now starting with the upcoming snow melt, and in some places where the snow has already melted, where she is preparing fields for crops and the crops that will grow on them eventually to be harvested. Now, in the Southern Hemisphere, her energy is the full harvest is now coming on in the Southern Hemisphere. And so she's the maiden of the harvest, the point that I just was mentioning about separating the pure from the impure. So her energy in both hemispheres is related to the planting of crops, grains, and food for human consumption. So how do we meditate on this? Well, we meditate on this full moon in Virgo as the full moon of abundance, where food and nutrition and nutritional substance is concerned, because Virgo is also the sign of health. And more than any of the other 11 signs of the zodiac, Virgo is the one connected most with human health or human health conditions. So this is a very good full moon to meditate on the robustness of health that we each have, and meditate on the nutrition that we will be getting through food substances growing from the earth pure and untampered with, away from sprays or chemicals or anything that could be harmful for the body, and to reflect on the abundance of the edibles that are out there in the world that can and will be produced and harvested for us. So think of this as the Maiden of Harvest, the Goddess Ceres in a way. That's kind of an old original direction of her. And by the way, one of the asteroids is called Ceres, C-E-R-E-S, and that is the biggest asteroid of all. It's so large that some scientists have actually classified it as a plutoid planet, which is a very crazy term that they invented. It means a small planetary body, and it is the largest asteroid, and it is considered plutoid, actually existing as almost a small mini planetary body itself, but it's sitting in this whole stream of all these other little fractured pieces of rock and asteroid bodies that are all circling in orbit between Mars and Jupiter in that little asteroid belt,
Ron,
we call it. Yes.
Well, Ron, can I ask this? Because I know
yes.
a lot of people, at, you know, towards the full moon, they do abundance, you know, right before the full moon, and I have a lot of friends who do abundance checks because they ask the universe to make them abundant and paid in full. So let me ask a question. I'm just going to throw this out. So if we have enough food and we have enough perfect food and we're able to plant and our health is, you know, we ask for a lot of health, can we also ask for, like, abundance in money and position?
Well, there is a connection with what you say because Virgo, the sign of this full moon, is one of the three earth signs, the others being Taurus and Capricorn. And the earth signs are associated with material things. Now, she may be associated more directly with the earth itself and the plants of the earth, but there is a connection with Virgo and financial abundance, too. So we can also reflect on the fact that this is an earth sign full moon, and earth signs are signs that are fecundant where money is concerned. That means they're fertile, and they can bring us fiscal and financial upliftment. So this is a very powerful full moon, and it's a three-day energy. It actually is Saturday. It starts on Saturday the 15th. It's exact on Sunday, March 16th, and it still goes on St. Patrick's Day, which is Monday the 17th of March. And you could meditate and focus on this full moon energy all three of those days or any of those days.
I love that, Ron. I've got another, now that we know what to do around the full moon, I've got to tell you, my goddess energy has gone direct. Well, actually, Jupiter went direct. I don't want myself to grow. I want my world to grow. So what's associated with Jupiter now that it went direct? I mean, does it have like a goddess? Like is Jupiter like Athena or like Aphrodite or, you know, any of the goddesses that I kind of relate to? Is that anything that Jupiter does?
Well, interestingly enough, Jupiter was the king of all gods and goddesses. He was the reigning king and took reign and hold of his control on top of Mount Olympus in the area of Greece. And here in Greece, in Grecian times, he was called Zeus. So he's known as Zeus in one culture and Jupiter in the Roman culture. Now, because he was the king of all gods and goddesses, this does not mean that he was unapproachable. In fact, I believe there are some connections. Like Jupiter, I believe, according to the mythology, had an affair with Aphrodite, Venus. Venus and Aphrodite are the same, goddess of love. And the child they produced was Mercury, or Hermes in the Greek name. So I believe Mercury's father was Zeus, Jupiter, and the mother was Venus. And he was the god of communication and is one of our planets. But Jupiter is the biggest planet of all in our solar system. It's 1,300 times the size of the Earth. So imagine the Earth multiplied by 1,300 times, and you'll get the idea just how big Jupiter is. In fact...
And I had an affair...
Go ahead. You had what?
Go ahead. And I had an affair with that big of a planet? I don't know.
if you're Venus, you would have had a child from him, and I believe that child would be the Greek name Hermes or the Roman name Mercury. It's probably easier for us to talk about the Roman names because those are the ones that the planets are named after, and they're the ones we more commonly identify with. He is this giant, large planet, and as far as size, that has something to say about the energy of Jupiter. It's the planet of abundance and unlimited abundance, unlimitedness, no breaks, no stopping, no blank walls to run up against. Jupiter is the principle of expansion and growth in anything, in any way, as far as you can go and further. And this is the planet that is often prominent in charts of people who are very affluent because it can bring a very large amount of money into people's lives. Now, in my classes, I use an example of the great, I call her the great educator because she's had so much knowledge on television to help people open their consciousness and understand things, the great educator, Oprah Winfrey. When she was born, Jupiter was sitting as the only planet in her second house, which in the birth chart is the house of money and finances. Now, she did not start out wealthy. She had a very challenged childhood. However, once her life got into gear and she got into her adulthood, the energy of Jupiter started to manifest, and as it manifested, it was springboard to catapult her onward to become one of the wealthiest people on the planet. And that's an example of what Jupiter can do when it's in certain placements in the chart. In some areas, it can produce an incredible amount of unlimited wisdom. In other areas, fiscal and financial abundance. In others, unlimited luck. Whatever you do, you touch it, it turns to gold. It's the planet that is there for, it's the positive planet. In the ancient times, it was called the greater benefic or benevolent one, and it was considered the most favorable planet of all. And many astrologers today get into that catchphrase of saying, this is the good planet, this is the positive one, this is the one you want to be placed in a strong way in your chart and doing good transits around your wheel because it's the planet that protects you. It's called also the great protector and will be the planet of great abundance. Now, this protection business, I want to explain something, folks. And the first research into this was at the 1930s when the great Zeppelin, the Hindenburg, crashed in landing in New Jersey. Astrologers in the New York, New Jersey area back then in the 1930s managed to secure or connect with some of the survivors from the crash of the Hindenburg. And what they did is they asked these people to please give us your birth information, city, date, and time of birth, and they set up their charts. And every single person that survived that crash had something going on at that time in their birth chart from a positive aspect or transit from Jupiter, and that's what saved them. I've seen people being interviewed after plane crashes, and they'll say, I don't know why I'm here giving you this interview because I have found out that all the people around me have all been killed on that plane crash, and here I am with just a few scratches. Well, if that person's chart were studied, you would find that Jupiter was in a prominent placement on that day or at that time, and it protected their life. And it's even done freaky protections. I'll give you an example, and this goes back again to the 1930s, but in rural North Carolina, there was a woman who was quite advanced in her pregnancy. She was going to deliver any day in the rural area she lived in. They had to go to a well to get water. And as she was lowering the bucket of water into the well, she was looking over the edge to hear when it was going to make contact with the water. She fainted and fell into the well, and she was unconscious in there, and while she was unconscious, floating on the surface of the water, she gave birth to her baby, and the baby was born into the water of the well, but it was kept and held under the water by her skirt, and she came to and started, after a few minutes, not even a few minutes, after maybe an hour or two, and started crying for help, and another farmer heard her and pulled her up. And the baby survived and ended up being a very healthy, strong, abundant man. Well, what happened is she was under a good Jupiter transit that day. Yes, she had the incident of falling into the well, but it protected her, and it protected her newborn. And both survived. So it's a planet that gives us protection in many ways. So it can protect us from harm, but it also can protect us from evil because it's the planet that's very much connected with religious belief system, angels, angelic guides, angelic beings, angelic teachers, spiritual guides or beings that work with us as teachers. So Jupiter represents also these forces, forces for the good now,
well,
good angels, not fallen.
Well, you know what, Ron? I have to tell you something. I think I have Jupiter in every one of my houses. Did you look?
Well, I don't know if we have it in two energy areas. You know, Jupiter holds the sign of Sagittarius. And I know Sagittarian people, when they find that out, they get very excited and they say, well, I'm ruled by the best planet of all. But instead of taking that attitude, it really is their ruler and in a way, many ways, their guide force and protector. Wherever you have the sign of Sagittarius on the outside of your astrology wheel, which house that's at, that house has a Jupiter rulership or connection because Jupiter is associated with Sagittarius. Now, somewhere else in chart, unless you have Jupiter in Sagittarius, the planet Jupiter will fall. It'll be in another one of the houses for most likely. So it is possible that we have energy outlets for Jupiter in two places in our chart.
Well, I must have because I'm Sagittarius rising. So can I just, like, walk over Cancer and just say that I have Jupiter?
No, you've got Jupiter ruling your ascendant.
I have a general question here.
Yes.
My husband was a Sagittarian, and one of the things that we noticed is, like, he was in the military, and he actually got brain cancer from a lab accident. And it was an astrocytoma type 2 brain cancer. He was a medical astoundingment for the VA people because most people who had his type of brain cancer either were really young and they would recover or they were really old and they would die. He was out there in the middle, and he lived, like, for 8 years with this thing when most people died of it within 2 years.
Well, not trying to pat Sagittarius on the back because awful things can happen to any sign of the zodiac. It isn't that Sagittarius are saved. It's just that they've got this planet, which is their intimate connected ruler, Jupiter, associated with Sagittarius, which acts as a protector and acts as a survivor and acts as the planet of giving and giving and giving. It's as if planets have polarity vibrations. Saturn is the planet of restrictions, slapping you on the wrist, the stern school marm with, you know, the old one-room schoolhouse, and the stern disciplinarian.
I have no Saturn in my house. I have none. I don't have any.
Well,
and, Ron, I need you to take them out right now. I want you to pull them out of my chart, stick them in the trash can, and tell them they can go somewhere else. But I do not want them.
Oh, so you want a
so
reading and
them
I just
out of my
remove
chart.
Saturn and leave everything else in. Is that it?
Yes.
Right. That's what she wants. She wants a tailor-made chart.
Yes.
Well,
I
Saturn
want to
can
Jupiter
be a difficult energy to work with. Jupiter can be an abundant one, but we can't go overboard with this because that's the bad side of Jupiter. There is good and bad in everything, even in the most benevolent planet of all. And one of the worst things associated with Jupiter and its sign of Sagittarius is overdoing things, overspending, over-gambling, overworking, overeating, overdoing this, overdoing that, conditions in which going into an element of extreme overdue is Jupiter's challenging side. The idea behind Jupiter is if some is good, more is better, and more is even better than that. It's the accelerator in the car. It makes things move faster and faster. There's no brakes with Jupiter. I mean the brakes in a car. And so when you look at that, it is a great planet. It is the planet of travel. Boy, I'll tell you, Sagittarians can have a wheel transplant on their feet because they can travel all over the world and love to do it. They are the travelers of the zodiac. People with prominent Jupiters are remarkably travel oriented, can speak often more than one language, have often lived in more than one country, and are drawn to people from all cultures of the world. And it is the planet of that sense, and it is the planet of joviality. The old name for Jupiter was Jove, J-O-V-E, and that's where we get the expression hardly heard today, by Jove, or jovial, the word jovial. So Jupiter has been associated with humor, and it's been associated with optimism, and it's been associated with a positive attitude. There's an energy with Jupiter that has this kind of consciousness. If something goes wrong and the bottom falls out on something, business or anything, the Sagittarian Jupiter energy person says, oh, okay, but in 6 months we'll laugh at this. In a year from now, we'll look back at it as ancient history. We'll go on and expand and continue and resurrect. And there's always that sense of eternal optimism that goes with this planet. It gives a sense of moving ahead and constant future hope.
I love that, Ron. That is so me. Take my Cancer, put it over there. It can be somewhere, but you know I'm a rising Sag, and I really rock Sag well. But, you know, I need, before we get started, because I know I have Dream Master One who's waiting to get in here, but I have to ask another question, Ron. Where is my Jupiter?
Well, that's a good question. Let me think for a minute here. I'm going to speculate that it's in Libra. I think it's in the sign of Libra. Some people pronounce that sign Libra, but however you pronounce it, it's the same.
And what house is that?
Oh, good heavens. Probably the 11th house or 10th house. It's probably up near the top of your chart, probably the 11th.
Okay, well, I need you to bring it down to the second house. Okay, I need you to bring it down to the second house where Oprah Winfrey's is so that I can also, in the later part of my years, be abundantly prosperous so I can help everybody. But as I say that, we are going to have a reading. I know, like I said, I've heard that this gentleman is just so excited for his reading, and I got to tell you, Ron, I have them stacked up. They all want to hear from you. If you do want long readings from Ron, and he can get into very, very minute details about your own chart, please give him a shout at livingastro@aol.com because it is well worth. I've been doing this with Ron for how many years now, Ron? But don't say
it. Oh, Bonnie,
I
can't even remember, actually.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So. Yeah, and since I'm only 15, if you hear me on Monday and Tuesday, I'm in that second show window. It's really been since I'm a toddler. But I'm going to let
That's
you
right.
take
when
the realm
That's right, when you couldn't even
yourself.
Speak the language, we did your chart. That's right.
That's right. I thank you, Ron, and I love you. And I am going, and I always say I love you to death. Well, you know, Susan hates that because she says, oh, no, I love you to life. So
there we go.
I don't mind the word death, but you know, as some people do. So I'm going to say I love you to life, Ron. I'm just because Kelly took Dream Master One. I'm going to let her introduce him and pull him on. So go ahead, Kelly. I'm listening.
All righty. Yeah, this is Dennis and Ron. You got his information there and. We were in curious times last night, and there was quite a few people in chat, and some of them were going, oh, we're going to get to find out who the real Dennis is. I'm going, yeah. So I'm thinking they're all sleeping in this morning, so, yeah, they're going to get this in archives. But, Dennis, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Hi, Kelly.
Hey,
hi, Dennis.
And Bonnie.
Hi, Dennis.
Welcome back.
Hi, Dennis. Thanks. Thank you very much. It's my honor and pleasure always with especially my listeners, chatters, and my co-hosts. I love you all. I miss you hopefully as much as you miss me. And I'm so excited because I've heard a lot about you. So I can't wait to hear about you intimately, which is what your chart is.
Yeah, well, here we go.
Okay.
And hi, Ron.
I don't know if you've ever had an astrology chart done before, but I will not reveal your city, date, time, location, any of that, other than your first name, of course. And this chart was so fascinating. Once I set it up, I really pulled back and studied it, and I thought, how amazing. First of all, you have 5 planetary placements in Virgo. And so that's the sign of the full moon coming up this Sunday. And that's where you've got the planet Venus in Virgo, Pluto in Virgo, Uranus in Virgo, the Sun in Virgo, and Mercury in Virgo. And they're all in the same segment of your chart. They're all in your career house, the highest house in the wheel, house number 10. And that is power, concentrated power for job and career. You have great dynamicness in this chart to become famous or well-known, or whether it's in a regional area or in a cross-country area or in a multi-country area, there is great power, because the more planets that are in a person's career house, the more impactful their career can be on individuals or on the masses. And so you've got great power in yourself to work with and for people. And Virgo is very good with the small stuff, the details, the delineative things. And you're very good in delineations. You're very good in going through explanations and understandings and coming up with the understanding reason why something is working and how and to what pattern it works at. Number two, when you were born, the sign of Scorpio was coming up over the eastern horizon, and that's your ascendant. Like Bonnie was saying, hers is Sagittarius, but yours is Scorpio. And that is a very psychic and intuitive ascendant. But even more interesting, there was a planet that was hugging the ascendant that was just about to rise at the time of your birth and was in a very prominent area of your chart, and that's Neptune. And it was at 19 degrees Scorpio. Your ascendant was 14 degrees Scorpio. Now, what that means is, that planet was in the area of the chart that deals with your personality and the way people see you and the way you come across to the world and the way you flow through the world and how the world has its back influence on you, you on it and it on you. And that is the most fascinating placement, because Neptune is without doubt the single most psychic planet in our solar system. It is associated with the sign the sun is in right now, the sign of Pisces. And arguably, Pisces may be the most psychic sign of all 12, because it is so sensitive to vibrationary energy, picking up and sensing. And by having Neptune in your first house, that's the way you're going to be. You're going to be very receptive to outside energy. Now, this could be good or bad. It could be powerful for psychic flashes and intuitions, but it can also mean people and situations can be overwhelming sometimes in your energy, and it could affect you like a big gust of wind could, you know, try to knock someone down. So here's what you have as a natural birth pattern in your chart. You can walk into a room you've never been before, go to a place you've never been before, meet a person you've never met before, and you will have a very powerful and immediate, sudden impression about the energy of that place or person. And it will be right. It's not just a fantasy. It's not just an unabiding, being judgmental. It's going to be right. And I'll give you the common example I use with this. You could walk into a restaurant that could be just beautiful. It could be evening, tablecloth, candles burning, everything looks and seems so romantic, and you'll walk in there and you'll say, I don't want to eat here. I don't feel comfortable here. There's something that tells me to go. And what you're picking up is on the energy of that place. You're not seeing it visually. You're picking up energy-wise. And you could may not know this, but someone may have just gotten fired, and that energy's in the atmosphere in that restaurant, or there may have been a big fight in the kitchen. And you pick up on that, and you just want to turn and go somewhere else. The thing I'm telling you, with this chart, Dennis, trust your feelings. that's going to be a hard thing in some ways for you because Virgo wants a detailed answer on everything. It says, okay, you're feeling this, but why? Why are you getting this impression? What is the reason behind it? Analyze it. Get the understanding
right.
of it. Pick it apart. Get the sense of
right.
what it's coming from. And these two energies will fight each other in the chart. The immediate, intuitive, sensory energy will always be right. And if you go against it, like if you meet someone for the first time and you get a strong sense of something toxic about that person, and I don't mean in their health. I mean toxic and not something
in their energy,
good
yeah.
about them. And you go against that and you say, oh, I have to give everyone a fair choice, a chance. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to be too critical. I don't even know them. Why should I be critical? And you go against it intuitive hunch, you'll find out later you seriously regretted doing so. So the important thing with the Virgo combination and the Pisces, well, the Pisces ruler, Neptune rising, is to first trust always initial impression energy. Now,
right.
beyond that, once you follow with that impressionable trust, then you can, on other things, be incredibly thorough. In whatever work you do, you are so detailed. You are so thorough. You are so specific. You can be incredibly accurate in whatever you do because you've got Virgo, the sign of accuracy, the sign of precision, the sign just think of that maiden of the harvest that takes out the imperfect and leaves the perfect, the sign of that which is good and that which is not so good being separated and removed from each other. So something that's going to be good for the work, that's flowing for the career, that's accurate for it, keep it in, and that which is taking one on a wrong tangent, a wrong course, or an incorrect direction, you know, cast that aside. You can pick things apart, and you're very, very, very good with body language. Beyond the first initial psychic impression about people, you have a talent that only a handful of people really have, and that is to read and visually read people, and you could see changes in intonation on another person, a gesture or gestures, eye flittering. You have this natural ability to see the signs and body language that others give off. And if you develop that, you can become quite profoundly talented in that area, or you could just keep it as a natural astrological gift and inborn gift in this chart for this life. Now, the other thing is Virgo tends to let little things bother it. It can be the sign of worry and worrisomeness. And this is the energy that you have to try to turn into another form of energy. Instead of saying, oh, don't worry, just ignore that, it's not going to be easy to do that when you have this many planets in Virgo. You can't just turn off the worry spigot. So what you do is you say, well, look at the good that has come out of something else,
right.
and I worried about it, and the worries all went to nothing. Look at the direction that I'm going in, and I feel directly and intuitively confident that what I'm doing, saying, and proceeding with is good. And then you can work with the sense of I rise above the worry, and I proceed with whole comfort and confidence in the direction I'm
right.
going on. You've got the moon in Libra, which means that, Dennis, had you been born 1, 2, or 3 days earlier, you would have had the moon join this whole group of planets in Virgo. So you would have had the sun and moon in Virgo, Venus and Pluto and Uranus and Mercury. But the moon has already changed signs, and it's in the next door sign, Libra. And that's another interesting thing. Virgo is a highly intelligent sign. And Libra, where the moon is an air sign. And the air signs, which are Libra, Gemini, and Aquarius, are the signs generally connected to communication and intelligence. So you have an extraordinarily high IQ, a very high IQ, and you are very quick to learn, and you're very quick to see the small factors and see how things integrate. You can also go down to the basic foundation of something by honing in to find out what foundation something is built upon or what interconnections of energy something is basing its manifestation on. And then with Libra, you have this power to analyze it and think it through from the Virgo side and see with the other side of the scale of balance of Libra, see how it has a function or meaning in the world, because Libra's intrinsic nature is to be fair. It's to take something and not be judgmental, but to take something and see what its value is, what it's contributing in the world or to a person. Because Libra is also the sign of partnering. One person on one side of the scale, their partner on the other scale. So it rules relationships, love, dating, romance, marriage, partners. But it also rules putting things into proportional balance and seeing the equal and opposite level energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we talked about great old Jupiter. You were born with Jupiter in Cancer, and Jupiter is in Cancer right now. And that's only one time in 12 years. And it stays in each sign of the zodiac for 1 year. There are 12 signs, so it takes 12 years to go around the zodiac. So Jupiter entered Cancer right around the beginning of summer. I think it was June 26th, 2013, and it's going to leave Cancer July 15th, 2014. So it's in that sign like 1 year and a little over 2 weeks. And the last time it was in Cancer was 2001 to 2002.
Nice.
And the time before that, 1990 to 91. Well, this is a very important transit for you because you're going to get Jupiter crossing over its own placement in your birth chart. Now, when you had Jupiter in Cancer, it was near the ending of that sign. It was at 28 degrees of Cancer, and there's only 30 degrees in an astrology sign. So in the sky, Jupiter will be crossing over your natal or birth Jupiter. Let me get this date exact now. I don't want to just try to pick it out from memory because I looked at it earlier. Here's the date. It's going to be crossing over at July 7th, 2014. Now, why is that date heightened? That's the one time in 12 years the planet Jupiter is at the same place in the sky that it was at when you took your first breath and were born. And this is called a Jupiter return. The planet returns to the same place in the sky that it was at and in our birth chart when we were born. And this is very, very, very lucky. And this is very, very positive. Now, that's less than 4 months away. So you're approaching kind of a crescendo time as we get to the middle part of this year and we get into July, in which a lot of things are going to come together in a positive and sometimes a big way. You're also going to be remarkably lucky around that time. You're going to have a little bit of a Midas touch on whatever you touch, start, work with, conceptualize, activate. It's going to tend to be highly successful in a financial way, and it can be having a large ripple effect. Now, that's the material side of it, but Jupiter also is connected to traveling, and other people of the world. And you will have a particularly strong pipeline at that time in meditation, in dreams, and in meditation visualizations for healing for Mother Earth, for healing for the oceans and animals living in the oceans, creatures, and healing of people in other cultures of the world. Now, we can all visualize that, and we could all go into meditation mode to work with that kind of energy. But you will have the strongest peak in 12 years of a flow talent, of a visualization, directionary talent, ascending energy, visualizing healing and visualizing positive things, visualizing improvement at that time. So it works on a universal scale because it brings energy to interact with the positive things for our fellow human beings, and it works on a personal scale or for financial abundance or work abundance or activation abundance. Now, a lot of people misunderstand this, Dennis. They'll say, well, that means I have to start something on that day or by that day, July 7th. And I'll say, well, no, even if you are thinking of something and the planning of it comes into your mind and the first idea hits you and you don't start it for 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years later, it still entered your consciousness at the time of your Jupiter return. And it carries that energy no matter how long it takes to become fully manifested. So this is a very powerful time for you. And the other thing is, since Jupiter relates to guides, teachers, spiritual beings, and angelic forces that work with us, you will, this is in the house of higher consciousness in your mind, in your chart, the house of the higher mind. And so I have a very strong feeling from looking at this chart that this transit of Jupiter in the summer months, particularly in July, will bring you a new spiritual teacher, guide, angelic force or being that's going to work with you. And they may already, since Jupiter's been in Cancer since June of 2013, they may already have made some type of preliminary or start introduction. But Jupiter will leave Cancer not too long after you get this Jupiter return, and that being July 15th. And so I can see pretty much between now and July 15th, or in recent months before now, a new spiritual teacher or guide that is a powerful one that's not just going to stay with you for the next 12 years and leave, but it's going to stay with you on a very permanent basis. And even though people, I've had people who know not a thing about astrology. They know that they're a Leo and that's it, and they don't even know there's anything like a chart. They don't even know Leo's their sun sign. They just know it's their sign. And I'll tell them, you're getting an energy shift in your chart with this Jupiter transit. And at the time of the reading, those are just words. They can't understand the thing I'm saying. But after the thing happens and they re-listen to their recording, they will say to me, you're right. I did have an experience. I had a sudden series of dreams in which a spiritual being I saw, and I never saw anything like that before, and the energy of the being said, I'm working with you now, and I've come to help you. And this is one of the factors that Jupiter gives. It gives assistance even from the non-physical plane. Now, where's Saturn? It's in Scorpio, and your ascendant is Scorpio, and your first house is Scorpio, and you have Neptune in Scorpio in your first house. And that's the sign that's kind of getting a little bit of whiplash back and forth from this planet's transit.
Yeah.
So, Dennis, things haven't always been that easy, and they started to get more challenged when we got into the fall of 2012. Around October of 2012, Saturn entered Scorpio October 6th, and it's been in the sign of your physical body, first house, personality, ascendant ever since then. And it's going to stay in that sign until Christmas Eve of this year. On Christmas Eve 2014, it leaves Scorpio and goes into Sagittarius. So wherever people have Scorpio, they're often having a lot of whiplashes, delays, issues, and the first house has to deal with your physical body. So you may have been more affected by energies in a negative way. You may have been more up and down in health. You may have had more roadblocks or challenges or delays. You may have had more periods of sudden bouts out of the blue of melancholy or defeatism, sense of loss of self-worth. All of this could be side effects from this planet, and it is temporary, and it is not going to stay forever. However, it is not that far right now from your ascendant and Neptune, and it does have a tendency to be the planet that gives us hurdles to get over, roadblocks to conquer. So where Jupiter is in its own sign and is doing great things then, Saturn is kind of giving you some stumbling blocks. Now, here's how the way to look at it. Don't just say, oh, well, I have to wait till Christmas Eve and beyond, then things will get better. I don't want people to think like that. I
doesn't
want
work
to realize
way.
That
no.
Saturn is the business planet. On its positive side, it deals with our responsibilities in the world, our work, our career,
right.
How we function in the world. And when Saturn's in your first house, you have power to start new businesses. You have power to change or alter your business in any way that needs to be altered, whether it's new advertisements, whether it's new flyers, whether it's new logos, whether it's new ways of doing things, adopting to new techniques, or even if it's quitting and going into something new, as dramatic as that, or starting a second job. Anything that you do to alter your business that's well thought out and well analyzed will, in the long run, be very successful for you, because this is the planet that relates to career, job, work, and business. And Scorpio people, by the way, are going through the very thing I've just been talking to you about with business and their business status and direction in the world. But because you've got Scorpio in such a sensitive point in the chart where your physical body is, physical self is, it can be difficult when it's there for a short while. And it has been there more than a short while. It's been there a little over a year and a half now, October 2012 to where we're getting now to, or about a year and a half, to where we're getting now to March to April of 2014. So it's in a sign about 2.5 years. And that's why it's going to take us till Christmas Eve of this year, the ending of 2014, before it goes into Sagittarius. But you don't have to let that be forever Mr. Difficulty, because you heard what Bonnie was saying about Saturn. She says, I hate Saturn, and this is what a lot of people who first study astrology get in their mind, that this is called the Greater Malefic by the ancient peoples. It was the most feared planet of all. It was said to be the ruler of bad things. They even blamed the bubonic plague on an alignment with Saturn and Mars in the time that the Great Plague hit Europe. So Saturn has often been given a lot of negative imagery, including the stern schoolmarm I talked about earlier. But one of the things it goes to work with us beyond work and career is it's the great balancer and releaser of karma. Saturn is called the Lord of Karma. And when we get certain Saturn transits, we are working off, paying off, balancing, and healing off karma that's been attached to us from past lives that we're still carrying around, or that has been attached to us from this life. So it's both. So since, in so many words, Dennis, since October 6, 2012, you have been in a period of working off karma from many conditions and a number of lives, and you may not even work it off in any way related to how it first happened. It just is cleaning it out, removing its attachment from you, releasing it, healing it, letting go, forgiving, moving on. So that's one of the great lessons of Saturn going through Scorpio. Scorpio people are going through a great karmic release and healing factor pattern. And it takes a while before that sign gets, or any sign gets to a point of purification, or as pure as it will get. And that's why it stays in that sign 2.5 years. So I would say embrace this transit between now and Christmas Eve of 2012 and say, all right, I recognize astrologically this is a time of great karmic healing, great karmic releasing, and great karmic balancing. And I accept that, and I let it go. And I accept purity, which is a concept of Virgo. I accept cleanliness, a concept of Virgo, in place of where there was attachments or karma or karmic events. So Saturn can bring you rewards for good karma, but it also makes us pay off the bad. So like someone like Mother Teresa, who in a future life is going to obviously accrue so much good karma from what she did in her life, Saturn will reward her when it goes through certain signs of her future chart. But for the majority of people, it does bring rewards, but it also means you're in a karmic cleansing period, and it's pretty intense. And this will happen to you twice in 29.5 years. Once when Saturn goes through Virgo and goes through all those placements that you have in Virgo, and the second time is when it's in Scorpio, and possibly the third time is when Saturn is back on its placement in Pisces, because when you were born, Saturn was at 26 degrees Pisces, sitting opposite your Sun and Mercury. So, but we all get Saturn transits, but I want you to understand, if you look at the two, Jupiter is assisting you now in many ways, and Saturn can be focused for career empowerment and can also be the focused energy for karmic balance. So do you have any questions, Dennis? I've just been popping off here. What things do you want to ask about?
Well, no. I just wanted to, I'm just appreciative that that you're taking the time to read my chart. I haven't had
well,
this done in...
Well, I want to tell you something. Virgo placements in charts will increase intelligence. It is one of the smartest signs of the zodiac. Along with Gemini, Aquarius, and even Libra, those four signs tend to be the most cerebral and intelligent. There's no question with having those Virgo placements, and one of them being Mercury, the planet of the mind in Virgo, you've come into this lifetime with an incredibly high discerning IQ, with a very insightful and intelligent self of nature. And look at the sensitivity to outside energy and energy vibrations as a gift that not everyone has, and as a gift that you can understand, and it will work because it'll give you answers all the time, as long as you can detach from trying to pick apart why you feel that way or why you got that impression. And you can leave that picking it apart side alone and not let it interfere and trust the feeling, the pure feeling, the pure instinct. You've got an incredible chart. You're good with words, by the way. You're good with words. You're a good talker. You can be an excellent writer. You can be an excellent communicator. You can be extremely good with people's health and health delineator, because Virgo is associated with health. And you could be a good medical intuitive. You could sense if people are developing or about to develop some type of medical condition, and you could see it in advance and help them to not let it come into being, to stop it.
Do you, Dennis, can you even, I mean, wow, I have to say.
I think Dennis
can throw all this at it.
That's amazing.
You know, Ron, I'm going to tell you, I would throw Saturn out anyway, but you can't ask for 2.5 years. And I do believe in absolutely paying back karma and having karma released. So if he can release all that karma by the time he turns around at Christmas, man, I think he should be having a great rest of his life, don't you think?
Well, you'll be going through a wonderful period in which Saturn will finally leave the vibration of Scorpio energy. It will return by retrograde for just a number of weeks into Scorpio in 2015. But it's basically a beached whale or lame horse then. It just comes back for a very short touch into the sign and then back into Sagittarius for a permanent transit. Dennis, one other thing is the areas of the body ruled by Virgo are the nerves and nervous system and the small intestines. And okay. With that many planets in Virgo, your nerves are not necessarily going to be a major problem, but you have very sensitive nerves. Your nerves can almost act like antennae and receptivity to help with your psychic ability. And you get a lot of gut-level feelings and hunches, where that term comes from. Virgo ruling one of the intestinal areas, you see, gut-level areas. So many times Virgos will have issues with their intestinal tract or nerves or be deficient in B vitamins or whatever the situations are for their health, because it's a sign that burns up vitamins and picks food apart very detailedly, even its own digestion.
Yeah. No, thank you, Ron, for taking the time studying my chart, and I really do appreciate you're sharing with me on this. Thank you.
Well, embrace this Jupiter transit, because once it goes into Leo, it won't be back into Cancer again until 2025. It'll be in that sign from 2025 to 2026, somewhere about the middle part of the year. It'll enter and leave the following year, the middle part of the year. So this is the transit that you really absolutely should embrace. This is priority number one right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know how to say it, I feel it.
Well, thank you again, Dennis. And,
right.
Thank you too, ladies.
I think Dennis is just sitting there going, oh, my goodness.
Wait a minute, Ron. You cannot leave the building. There's no leaving the building yet.
I'm not Elvis.
I want you
to know. You know, Elvis has left the building.
I know. Maybe
Ron's still in the building.
Yeah, you know what, Ron? I've got to tell you, and it keeps reminding me. My spirit works for me in funny ways. I say things that I blurt out, and I would never say that. I like Elvis, but I'm not an Elvis fan, and yet I know he said that. So I wonder if leaving the building has anything that you can relate to. Because do you like Elvis, or? Is Elvis, because I'm telling you, don't leave the building I would never have spilled that out of my mouth. But I, you know, it just is, I love how spirit works through me. But this, but I really would love to thank you. I don't even know, the thanks and gratitude, I want everybody out to know out there who are listening and chat that Ron, you know, this is his business and he is fabulous at it. And he donates his time to the radio, just like we all do, and you all do, because I know you're a lot. There's a lot of very, very, very talented and gifted people that come to the show. And I want to thank you all because, you know, we do this to help everybody. And so, Ron, you know, I'm in awe of you. And I was going to say next week, but I think you already have somebody for next week, you could do my progress chart. Because everything's about me, but I think you already have somebody for next week. So,
well, it's going to be Rita. You can only say a small amount on the progression. You can say, you know, you could say you've got this aspect on this date and this aspect on this date and this aspect, and it's more like that as opposed to the overview of a chart. You still can do
right,
a progress
but
reading, but it's not going to be a lengthy one because that actually needs to be shown in person one by one by one by one to a person.
Well, Ron, you did that for me, and I just, you know my mind, so I might have to pull it out and come over your house and let you do it again. But I so want to say thank you, and, you know, I've got to tell you, Kelly's in love, I don't know, you know, with you, so I do want to tell you, you have a lot of fans out there, and we are all in awe of what you know, and we thank you for coming on Wednesdays. So, again, everybody, you can reach Ron at livingastro@aol.com. Kelly put it up, I think, in chat. And Ron's readings are 2 to 3 hours. He has charts and all kinds of things, bells, whistles, but they're not, you know, foo-foo. They're the real deal. I can tell you that, you know, I'm ADD, and I sit there and listen, and I'm in such awe. So please try, you know, get a hold of him if you need him. He will do a detailed chart for you. Ron, if you want to say goodbye or if you have any words for everybody, please say them.
Well, I was going to say goodbye to everyone. And now that you've got the consciousness of what this full moon means this Sunday, the next full moon will be on Income Tax Day, April 15th, and it'll be the Libra full moon. And it's an eclipse, so it's not going to be just a regular full moon. So this one is not an eclipse coming up now, but we'll have the next full moon as an eclipse.
Taxes,
so,
moon, eclipse, and Libra. Cool, my goodness. I want to hear that one.
Well, then we
thank you
talk
so much,
about Ron. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
I'm handing this over
and
to Kelly.
And thank you to you,
so,
Kelly. You were so good the last couple of weeks. It was such a joy having you and talking with you.
Likewise. It's like I can't brag enough about this man. He is so awesome. He is so incredible. If you guys didn't hear some of those, you know, the other shows, go back and archive and catch Ron's bit. You know, he's doing like, you know, kind of like a planet a week, and just I have learned so many things. He is just so knowledgeable, and so I keep bugging him about classes, and he could say, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's like there's some of us going to classes, man.
Ron.
Well, I'll be on
questions.
Again.
But
see you all next week on the radio then.
All righty.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
I'm just muting because I got to tell you, Kelly, before I start your show, before actually you take over, and you know how I love that, I have to tell you that I wanted to take classes with Ron, but he wants to put me in the baby class, and I just didn't want to be in the baby class.
Hey, you know what?
There was nobody
you always, you always start
class.
With kindergarten, Bonnie. No, don't look at it that way. It's like you just think of it this way. You want to start from kindergarten because you want to make sure you've got the foundation, that you've got the ABCs down solid. Because without a solid basis for it, when you start getting into the other stuff, and it's like, and I absolutely, even knowing what little bit I know, it's like I absolutely would take a refresher course because he knows so much and he brings so much else to it that it would not be a normal kindergarten class. It just would not.
Well, listen, if you want to go back to kindergarten with me, I know he'll put it together. He even made his own.
I do.
You know what, guys? I got to tell you something. And again, I don't want to dip into your show, but I've got to tell you that he even has you make cards. When you do your, I talked to 4 people that were in his class. One was an advanced and one was a neophyte like me. And he had them make their own cards. Some of them were published, like their own Virgo cards. And you can refer to you have all the signs and symbols on it. I was just so shocked. I mean, he even pulled them out to show me some of the cards. And I am telling you, if you, you know, if anybody's in the Orlando area, which I am, and, you know, doing it over the, you know, internet or whatever is great, or Skype, and I guess we could do it over Skype, but you should see what some of this advanced class he has. And I've talked to some of the advanced class students, and, oh, my goodness, that's why I have you on, Kelly. I can't even keep up. I still have the one that says astrology for idiots, and I can't even get past the third chapter. And I'm not an idiot, but I do.
No, you're not.
I had to start with that. I know, and I had to start with that. But anyway, you know, I love that he breaks it down. Like, I didn't know. Did you know that the sun and moon, you know, that if the opposite is across from that? I never even knew that.
Details. I didn't. It's like, I knew one particular thing. I knew that Aquarius was opposite Leo, and it's like, and I know I have Leo in my chart, which is like I'm at odds with myself. And I went, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know. And Ron,
well,
Dennis said thank you so much. It's like he's in chat. He's, you know, just going, really appreciate. Appreciate it. You know, let Ron know. It's like, you know, he really, really, really appreciated the reading today. It's like, it was just awesome.
Oh, I love that. And I know Ron will listen to this, and I know he does listen. So there's a big shout out there for you, Ron. We have a full board for you, Cal. So I'm going to tell you, everybody, everybody need that. I hope we're on the board for Kelly. This is Kelly's Atlantean Life card reading. This is such a kick, crazy show. So I am going to MC for Kelly. So, you know, because I am on Monday and Tuesday, I don't mind if somebody comes through and I'll let you know. But I'm going to take your first victim, Kelly.
Bonnie, wait. There was one thing, because I know, yeah. I know you said you got a message. You got a message for Dennis while Ron was reading, and it's like, because we were talking about that in chat. So, do you want to tell Dennis his spirit message while he's still here?
Oh, I had spirits with me. They are gone now, Kelly. But you heard what I put in chat. You know, the messages that they gave me is what I put through, and that he's got a lot of working out of things to do. He's, you know, because I don't have his permission, unless you see it in there, to let everybody know, I really don't want to put, you know, I did put it in chat and he can read it. If he wants to go back on the show, if he wants to come on Monday, I would suggest, and I don't know that Dream Master did, or I don't think he did, but, you know, he would be a great one for Susan and I to open up his Akashic Records.
Yeah.
Because when Acacia Kelly.
Acacia, sorry. Libra. I like Libra.
or I'm going to have to channel your book, and you're going to have to give me, you know, you're going to have to put my name on it when you write it. So
I know you want your name on the cover.
That's right. And put it in big, bold letters, please. But I do want you to know that I don't give any information, you know, unless you ask me. And that's why Monday and Tuesday, guys, especially for Dream Master, let's see if you really want to know what you're here for, Dream Master. I already can feel it. But Susan will open those Akashic records, and I'll jump right in there with Spirit. So, again, if you do want to do that, let Kelly know, and I'll pick you up. It's Monday 1 to 3, and Tuesday 1 to 3 this coming week. So, Kelly, are you ready, girlfriend?
I'm ready. It's the agent. I was actually gonna ask Ron that other thing. It's like, you know, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, you know, is that when peace rules the planet and love rules the stars? I'm gonna ask him that. He's gone.
Listen, I did, but I think I did it under something else. I think I said, does that mean that everybody's like making love on the planet? And I think he just didn't answer me. So when he comes back next week, you ask him.
I'll ask him.
Okay. 9:05, you have been waiting, girlfriend or guy friend, whoever I get on. Hi, this is Bonnie. 9:05, you're on.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi.
How are you? Dream Master again.
All right, you're going to get a double dip. Ooh.
Dream Master, you're going to get a reading from Kelly then, correct?
Sure, if she's available, and if I'm not taking anybody's time off.
Okay, bring it out here. I'm going to let Kelly do this. What I do have, I got to tell you something. I do have information for you. I really think that you need to call when we can reopen your Akashic Records. I don't want to do it without Susan. That's my co-host that does it, and that's the show we do. So I'm not going to do it without her, but you really need to do that because I got some messages for you that I put in chat, and I'm sure they're going to come out in your Akashic Records. So if you got the guts, babe, call on Monday, Tuesday.
Hey, no problem. I'm game.
All right. Okay, Kelly, you go for it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, I know it's September, and if I remembered Ron's reading better, it's like I would actually know the date here, but it's like, I know it's September because you're Virgo, and help me with the date and your current age.
15. Yeah. And I think I'm 47. I'm not quite sure.
I think you're 47. Get your calculator out. That's important.
Yeah, 66. I was born in 66, so whatever that is.
He's not 47 because I'm not going to tell you, but if he was born in 56, he's 14. Got to be 58.
There's a 56, 66, 76, 86, 96, 6. 2006 is 50. Are you sure?
Yeah, well, I was born in 66 in September 15th, so I think I'm 47 and going on 48. I'm not quite sure.
Wait a minute, no, 66, 76, 86, 96, 6. No, you're 50, Dennis. It's like, you're 50-something, Dennis.
I better not be 50.
Maybe you were born in 58, okay? Let's see, no, 57. No, because I'm born in 59 and I'm 55. See, so if you're born in 50, you're older than I am. So, okay, come on now.
Yeah, well, Chris just posted that I'm 47.
I don't want to. Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm 47. Sorry.
Okay.
Everybody. Yep. You know I have a habit of doing that. Go ahead. Hi, girlfriend.
All right. Let's see. You are a nine of clubs, and you're also a nine of spades. So you really came in here to finish things up. This is like, coming in to tie up things karmically. Nines, and the nines are all about, finishing up things from past lives. Called the nine of clubs is called the universal knowledge card, and you experience revelations about life and about the truth behind what's going on Earth that few of the other cards do. And they come from time to time when you release your attachment to some of your preconceived ideas and notions. It's also a card of negative thinking, and anybody with this birth card has to let go of a lot of negative mental patterns accumulated from past lives if you're going to get the power in this card. The people who succeed in letting go reach the very heights of recognition just through their work of giving knowledge to the world. So I kind of heard there you're in that river in Egypt. You're in denial. You don't like that word psychic, but, I just sat here listening to all this, about how many psychic planets you have, and it's this and that, and it's like, okay, fine, you're going to go intuitive, gut hunches, sensitive, fine, tomato. Same thing.
Yes, denial.
Well, it's not really denial for me. It's like I don't want to come across as being someone that is more different than another person per se.
Yeah, we all know that, Dana. The only problem is
different is good.
Yeah, I was going to say the only person you're fooling is yourself. So, I just want to tell you, you're such a lovely person. I mean, I just, you have great cards, you have great knowledge, you're intelligent, and you've got so much spiritual and, psychic ability that you can tap into. And Ron already told you we're going to get a teacher. I would do it, but I'm busy, but I would love to do it. Chris, I'm sure we'd help you. Any of us would. But I have to tell you, hi, Chris, I know I offered you. But the thing is that I got to tell you, Dennis, that we walk one path. And that's why I want to see what your Akashic Record does. And if you don't walk your true path, the problem I find, and with anybody, is that they end up having to walk their true path in the end.
Well, of
and
course.
Then they yeah. So you know what?
You're denying yourself of your true potential. You know, that's what you're doing.
Yes. And I want to pull it right out of your head because I see how much you have, and I know why you're keeping it in, and especially for guys. Cause, and the thing is that I'll talk more about this on Monday. So go ahead, Kelly. Sorry.
No problem. Let's see. You've also got the Queen of Hearts as a karma card, which is a marriage card, and you've also got the Two of Hearts in Venus. And you have a really romantic side, which is, kind of common. I'll say it kind of makes sense for Virgos. However, if you spend too much time allowing, romance thoughts to dominate, you're going to waste energy that you could otherwise elevate you to great accomplishments.
Yeah.
You're really here to end a major cycle in your soul development, a completion that is going to see you giving your wealth of knowledge to the world. You've got some debts to be paid, especially people who are the Queen of Hearts card and to your own families. But once, you pay your debts, you can proceed with the cosmic task of enlightening the world, okay? You've got some things to do. Financially, you will do well in a business of your own if you do not let the pursuit of money spoil your spiritual values, okay?
Right.
Often you're assisted in business and financial goals by successful diamond-suited business people. And some of your life challenges really revolve around honesty and integrity. Sometimes, you might get involved with others who are, not so high in those areas, and that can really pull you down. But you're here to learn to focus your mental power and to stick to a philosophy that's going to guide you through the ups and downs of life, okay? You're a very loving person. You kind of actually love romance more than marriage. Two of Hearts in Venus is kind of the lover's card. It's a love affair that really, grabs your mind. Marriage can be seen kind of as a responsibility and a duty rather than a goal pursued, for itself. You're very devoted to your children, and you are destined to have one of the more very challenging relationships in your life as you grow and learn about responsibilities involved with being true partners.
Occurring right now, yes.
I know, yeah. Also, likely you're going to experience one major love separation or divorce that is going to alter your life course. So I'm thinking, that also might be occurring
torn
at this
apart.
Moment. And, torn. Yep, exactly. And then with let's see, with that in mind. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, Chris said you are you're 47 going for it. So it's 66. You're born in 66, which is the year of the fire horse. Which actually, for males, the year of the fire horse is really seen as a good one. Now, female fire horses, not so much. They would actually kill female children who were fire horses because it was not considered a good sign and year for females. But for males, it's actually a very good one. Let's see. In the planetary ruler, you've got that nine of spades. You're a kind-hearted and giving person. And you understand the suffering that some people have to go through because you are tending to go through it yourself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Others may come and talk to you about their problems, be the shoulder to cry on. You're essentially a giver, and it just seems that whenever you do things, if you do things with a selfish motive, it's going to bite you, okay? And you might have experienced personal losses. Your own health might be a concern from time to time. In this lifetime, you are learning to disassociate yourself from personal concerns and adopt this more universal view of life. You're going to have some profound spiritual awakenings. It's going to open up new doors, which I'm thinking that might be occurring. It's like with a name like Dream Master, it's like, yes, I'm thinking that you've already probably had some of those. And that might have occurred, I'll say, right around your 45th year because that was your year of rebirth. It's like that was your rebirth year and some things really, really should have been shaken out and rocking and rolling around then. Yes, no, maybe.
Yes, no, yes. It's been interesting. Yes.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's like you climb one ladder and there's another ladder to climb,
It just keeps going up. That's right.
Bye.
It just keeps going.
Ascension and ascension. Absolutely.
This is what it is.
Let's see. I am going to give you your dates here, so because this will be for your once you have your dates, it's like it's for your whole year because your personal year is the same every year. You're always going to start with your birthday on the 15th, and that's your Mercury time frame, and that goes for 52 days. Then you have Venus that starts November 6th. You have Mars that starts on December 28th. You have Jupiter, which is your blessed time of the year, starting February 19th, and that's where you're at right now in this system, and it goes until April 12th. So it's like you're right in the middle of your Jupiter time for right now. Then you've got Saturn comes in on April 12th. Uranian time frame starts June 3rd. And last of all, Neptune comes in July 25th. So we'll just kind of take a quick look and see where you're at with your overall for this year. You've got a Queen of Clubs as the long range card this year. So that's really where your focus is.
All right, Queen of Clubs comes up again. Yeah,
exactly. It's about the queens are about self mastery. So it's, you know, when this comes up, it's like you're going to be doing a lot of internal work, a lot of, you know, work on yourself. And it's really, it could involve, like, you know, studying things. It could involve, you know, learning new systems. But it's all about your inner world and really, you know, kind of getting yourself together, okay? Getting to know you, you know, it's like getting to know you, yourself, and, you know, whatever. You've had some things also come in. Wow, let's see. You've had, you got a couple nines for the year. You've got this Ace of Spades. You've got the card of transformation.
Queens and nines keep coming.
Keep the nines. Yeah, exactly. More nines. Let's see. And it, well, when nines and sixes show up, it's also a year of fact-finding. It's a year of really, you know, finding out more detail about who you are, why you're here, and what your purpose in life is.
Right.
You've already passed those times. The Mercury time frame, there was a Six of Hearts and a Jack of Spades. You passed through the Venus time, which was a Nine of Diamonds, which is kind of like an ending of a certain financial situation of some sort, learning to let go. It could have been seen as a disappointment if you can look at it as a graduation and that door's closing, you know, another door's going to open. But with that nine was that Ace of Spades, which is the card of transformation. It's like the Phoenix Rising. It's like there was something that literally was burned away, and it's like, and you're renewed more after you coming through that. With the Mars time, you have the King of Hearts and the Seven of Hearts. So this is about it's the loving father card, and it's mastering yourself in your heart, in your emotions. And also with that Seven of Hearts there, it's having the faith. Like I say, the song they always give with that is, you know, have a little faith and love will come to you. So it's, you know, not worrying about it, but it's just, you know, going, okay, thank you, God, you know, today that, you know, I'm having loving experiences in my life. Jupiter, where you're at right now, there's a Two of Clubs and a Jack of Clubs. So the Two is kind of the argumentative card, or, you know, the card of conversation. Jacks are very, very creative. The thing with the Jacks, though, is the high side is very creative, you know, very inspired, you know, can use it for writing, for teaching, you know, for all those things. On the flip side, you have to be careful that sometimes either you don't act your shoe size instead of your age, or conversely, that you don't draw people in who are dishonest. Because
what
the
is
jack-
shoe size?
What's that? What's the
what? What is the shoe size?
That's the reverse card.
You know, like Bonnie, think of two sides of a coin. You know, you got like heads and tails. So the heads would be the high side, and the tails would be the low side. So,
right. And, you know, and it's funny, Kelly, acknowledging the other side of the coin,
right,
and knowing it for what it is, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that brings you through it, you know.
Exactly.
Where that is not permeating your energy, because you acknowledge
right.
it, and you know it, and you move through it.
Right.
Anyway,
it's
sorry,
also,
go ahead.
You know,
I didn't mean to.
I was going to say, it can also be a cautionary where be careful that people who are coming to you at this time are not acting as that jack, and it's like there's like also, you know, it's like the card of the thief or the ripoff, and it's just be careful, you know, watch your purse strings, watch your belongings around people in that influence, okay? So it's like with Jupiter, it's not so bad because whatever happens it has more of a beneficial, just like Ron got through talking about, you know, Jupiter is our expander, our beneficial, and it is our blessing time of the year. So it's less likely that anything negative will happen, or it'll be, you know, much kind of dampered down. Coming up, though, here's your caveats for the rest of the year. You've got a Nine of Hearts and an Eight of Diamonds in Saturn. So there's your lesson time, your karmic time of the year. The Nine of Hearts is showing like an ending. It's like it's going to be a closure of some some sort of relationship. On the positive side, you've got this Eight of Diamonds, which is power and finances. But also because it's under Saturn, you're going to work like heck for it, okay? It's like you're going to be doing the – you're going to be tilling the garden with the hand hoe, not the rototiller, okay? And Saturn brings a lot of work in that way. The Uranus time frame gives you a Five of Hearts and a Three of Diamonds. Five of Hearts is traditionally called the divorce card, but it you know, doesn't necessarily mean, you know, there's going to be a divorce or separation, but can be a change of heart. Fives bring us a lot of restless energy, a lot of changes. So it could be, you know, relationships are changing, you know, something like that. And under Uranus, it's unexpected. It also, with that Three of Diamonds, you're going to have some unusual Aquarian-type ideas, you know, creativity for new financial ideas. So that would be the time to, you know, carry your little notebook in your pocket with your pencil and just, you know, if stuff comes down, write it down. And it's like Ron just got done telling you, it's like, you know, you got a brilliant mind there. So write down your ideas, even if you, you know, don't censor them. Even if you think they're goofy, write them down, date them, because there may come a time and space where you go, wow, you know what? This is like science fiction becoming science fact. It's like, this applies. This will be cool. So, you know, those are the kind of ideas you get with that. The last one for the year is your Neptune, and it's a Jack of Hearts. So, again, you got the Jack, you got the crafty Jacks, but the heart, the Jack of Hearts is also called the Christ card. It's a lot. It's a card of sacrifice. It's a card of, you know, you might sacrifice things, you know, for your children, for, you know, somebody younger, something like that. But you're really going to be putting yourself out. On the flip side, you know, that's the high part. The low side is, don't put yourself up on the cross and go, woe is me, okay? So don't take it too far. For your Pluto results here.
You mentioned I'd be the martyr, but anyway, sorry.
Exactly. The Pluto result pair, there's a Three of Spades and a Two of Spades. The Three of Spades is your question or your challenge. The result card is the Two of Spades. So you come in with this high creativity, and it also could be a vibration of illness. There could be, you know, some physical problems happening, but the result card is going to be a union, you know, it's like a partnership with someone, and it's like those health issues, whatever they are, work issues, are going to be resolved by partnering up with somebody. You have an environment card also of the Three of Spades, which is a blessing card. So, you know, you're going to be blessed, actually, with great ideas for work. It's like, again, there's the, you know, there's the pocket pal, and write those ideas down. The displacement card as the Ten of Spades, that is, it's one of the powerful cards, and it's like, you know, really when you apply what is there, you know, a lot of blessings will come out from that. So, overall, I'm going to say, you know, the rest of the year looks like, you know, you're going to have a few potholes in the road, I'll say, but it's like if you're an alert driver, you steer around the potholes so you don't get a flat tire while you're going through the potholes, okay? You have the option of jumping the mud puddles, okay?
Yep.
Well, I hope that has been a great reading for you because you've had two fabulous readers.
You got a double dip today, yeah. Dennis.
Well, no.
You got a double dip today, Dennis.
Yeah, double dip. And, I didn't expect Bonnie's show today would be about Dream Master.
Hey,
you know, for the last hour and a half, that's
our
all we'd be talking about.
Well, you know what, Jim, sometimes it's just fate. So I am glad we could give you this. Please tune in. I'm going to take the next caller, and listen, I'm giving you advice. Call Monday or Tuesday. I don't know, you know, I'll look at your number, but I think you'd be really interested to see what your Akashic records say.
I'll be
okay?
Interested. I haven't done that directly, and yeah, I'll be very interested to hear that.
Okay, well, thanks, Jen. We hope that you've liked your readings. I've just muted you just because I've got to get to the next caller. Have a fabulous day. You're a wonderful soul. Brilliant, intelligent, intuitive. You couldn't ask for anything more. Go get the world, Dennis. So I'm going to go to the next caller, and the next caller is 407 number. Hey, my area code. Who could this be?
Hi, Jen. Hey,
hi,
hello.
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 How are you?
This is Bonnie. I'm doing fabulous. This is Bonnie and Kelly. Who are we talking to?
This is Christine.
Christine, okay.
Hi, Christine. How are you today? I don't know Christine, correct? So, because you're a 407 area code, girlfriend, and that's my area code. So everybody's thinking,
yes,
my friends are called. But everybody's my friend. So I hope you're ready for one of the best Atlantean card readers in this planet this time around. You're going to get Kelly.
I'm ready.
And I need your month and day and your current age.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I say I need your birth month, your birthday, and your current age.
My birth month is October. Birth date is 15th. And
wow.
I'm 45.
45. Oh, you're in your rebirth year. Cool. You are going through some transitions this year. Awesome. Love these. Oh, wow. Let's see. Okay, October 15th. You are seven of clubs. That is one of the cards of having faith in life. And your planetary ruler is the queen of spades. Oh, let's see here. And I'm going to do it a little bit in reverse over here. I'm going to do the queen of spades first because I have this tendency to get going on the, I'll say on the regular card, and it's like then I forget the planetary ruler. The planetary ruler acts like an ascendant in Western astrology, so it just kind of gives an indication as to how you manifest yourself to the world. With that queen of spades as your planetary ruler, it makes you a hard worker, and your person cares for others in kind of a motherly kind of way. You know, it's like you take chicks under your
Callie.
Wings, okay? Yes?
Callie? Christine, is are you hearing her clearly? It could be my mic. Are you hearing Kelly
clearly?
No,
I'm not hearing her clearly either.
Okay, let's see. Let me try.
Yeah,
is that any better? Did that help?
Hopefully. We'll see.
Did that help at all?
It sounds better right now.
Yeah.
Sounds better, okay. All
yeah,
right,
go ahead.
We'll give that a go.
Ahead,
okay. Okay, your ruling card, your queen of spades, makes you a hard worker. You're a person who cares for others in a motherly sort of way. You know, you gather your chicks under your wings, so to speak. You get some very good organizational skills in this card, and you might be attracted to work that others would find distasteful or, you know, beneath their dignity type of thing. But it adds a really strong work-oriented nature to your personality, and you may have to be careful that you do not find yourself in a position of drudgery and struggle. You can be a very tough boss if you're in a boss position. On the spiritual side, it's the highest card of self-mastery, and it gives you a special opportunity to experience enlightenment and mastery of your life through self-reflection and understanding. So this is, you know, this is a lifelong theme for you. So that's really something that, you know, never goes away. It's something you kind of find on for in this lifetime. And your birth card, your seven of clubs, is a spiritual knowledge card. Now, all the sevens are highly spiritual cards, but it's up to the individual to manifest that spirituality and really to turn negativity into accomplishment and personal freedom. Until you do that, a seven influence can literally cause you one trouble after another in life. The challenge rests in actually the mind, the negative aspects of the mind, which are worried out in pessimism. I refer you to Rhonda Byrne, The Secret, if in doubt about that one, okay? You've got a lot of inherent inspiration and insight, but when you don't follow it, you've got the Saturn influence that brings you despair and depression. Okay, so you've got the power to overcome the problem and really to attain the fame and recognition that you kind of secretly desire, but you need to apply yourself diligently. And you're doing a big makeover this year, so it's like this is where you're going to up this octave. You're likely to have large sums of money at different times in your life, but it's kind of like easy come, easy go. You know, it's like unless you really have a savings plan or are really determined, it's like, you know, it comes and it goes. It's like, oh, my goodness, where'd it go? You know, it's not the card for being the best money manager. You've got an eight of diamonds,
Kelly,
which not only gives you some desire for recognition, but can make you almost as much of a power shopper as an eight of diamonds person. Money can be spent fast and is made, although you drive a hard bargain. Difficulties in life can be traced directly, again, to your thoughts. Change your thoughts, change your mind, change your life. The inner world changes first and the outer. More than any other card,
you've got a really great responsibility to maintain positive, healthy thoughts, because that's what's going to keep you going. Any contact with spiritual thoughts or ideals is going to have a very positive effect on you. Developing honesty and integrity has been part of this challenge, I'm saying. That more than likely has been, you know, in your younger years. But you've got this Jack of Spades with the karma card, and it has three names. One of them is the Thief card. So it's like if you're not directly manifesting that yourself, you might have the tendency to pull people in who are like that. So it's really, really just watch yourself. You know, that's going to be, again, you know, just kind of be careful of your associations throughout your life, okay? In relationships, you really don't have bad or good karma. It's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of neutral. It's like it's just pretty good. But the true story of your love life comes as a result of how you handle the other areas of your life. Good news is, you know, here's the book, you know, here's the heads of the coin. If you apply yourself, you have more chances than any other card in the deck to maintain mastery of your emotions and romantic involvement. You do have some karma, and it may be reflected in learning to let go of personal attachments to others or in creating a positive attitude about your partner as well as the rest of your life. Now, ironically, you know, we get into relationships to be attached to someone, and then we're being told, well, now you've got to detach. But it doesn't mean detach from the person. It means detach of your idea of who they are, and realize that the only person you can ever change is yourself. You're never going to change your partner. This really is not. You always do operate better if you're married. You have more success financially and otherwise. Let's see. And if you do attain fame, you're more tempted with indecision in your personal life and the choice of a mate. So, you've got that kind of going back and forth bit there. Now, for this particular year, like I said, I'm so excited because this is so cool because, you know, here you are. You are, you know, right in the balance. And when you're done with this year, people are going to do, you know, probably be going, my goodness, what happened to you? We used to know you, and you have changed so much. You know, we have no idea what you're doing. But these are the cards that you were born with. It's like the reading for this year is exactly the same cards as you came in with the year you were born. So you've had, you know, 45 years to, you know, really learn about life, and you're going, it's just like, you know, taking the keyboard and going, okay, I've been playing in the lower register. I'm going to take this up an octave and really bring things up. For the year long, you've got, let's see what I meant here. Dates, it's dates. Let me give you your year-long stuff, because, again, once you have yearly stuff, it's the same every year. You can literally, you know, make a chart out of this, for yourself every year. Your Mercury time frame, of course, starts on your birthday. Your Venus time frame starts December 6th. Your Mars time starts January 28th. The Jupiter time starts March 21st, which is, so you're just finishing your Mars time right now, and you're coming up to your Jupiter time, so you're about in the middle of your year. Your Saturn time frame starts May 12th, and the Uranian time frame starts July 3rd. The last of all, but not least, is Neptune that begins August 24th and goes to your next birthday. So just kind of looking at where you're at right now, you're in Mars and heading into Jupiter here for this year. Your Mars, Mars bars. Oh my goodness, I don't know where that came from. Right now, you're dealing with a Jack of Clubs and a Nine of Spades. Nine of Spades is known as, it's almost like the Ace of Spades. It's kind of like, you know, the Western Death card or something like that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's going to die around you. It could just mean a change of life from your day-to-day, you know, whatever's going on, you're having, you know, this change that you're going through and that transformation, which is, you know, again, that's part of your rebirth here. It's part of, you know, being born again. Along with that, Jack of Clubs. And let's see, you just came out of, like, you got three, it'd be a good poker hand this year. It's like you got a Jack of Spades, you just got out of, and you had a Queen of Spades and a Jack of Spades in the Venus time. You've got the Jack of Clubs and the Nine of Spades in this Mars time. So it's like you're having a closure of some sort, but you still got, you know, you've got creative ideas for writing, you know, for this kind of stuff. And really some spiritual transformation is like, you know, the cards of the initiate. Coming into Jupiter, you've got a Nine of Diamonds and a Three of Diamonds, which in and of themselves are kind of both hard cards. It's, you know, it's talking about there's going to be a closure and an ending of some type of finances. But on the flip side, with that three, it's you're going to have some new ideas. You know, you could be working two or three jobs at once and have, you know, an idea for two or three different home businesses, you know, some creative ways to make money. So as one door is closing in your finances, the other one is opening. And it's in Jupiter, which Ron just gave us a whole bunch of information about in the Jupiter time frame, going, wow, that's really cool.
So
she's going to have some, you know, she's going to have some closure of one sort, but she's going to have, you know, three opportunities for something new coming in, so, you know, for finances. So it's like, you know, don't worry, be happy, because, you know, Jupiter is, well, what looks like the rain cloud. You need the rain, and you're going to have the silver lining, literally the silver lining, okay, coming in with it. Just be aware of it, okay? You can't be finding, you know, the pot of gold, I guess. Well, I don't know, I guess you could if you're stumbling along on the ground, but it's like, you know, you look up to the heavens to find the rainbow, to see where the pot of gold's at, you know, take your mark and go find it, you know, type of thing. So look up and be happy, you know, carry yourself well, you know, don't worry, be happy. The Saturn time frame for you is a seven of spades and a six of spades. So, wow. Carbon calendar, you know, there's a lot of that. But it's having faith. The seven of spades is the card of faith. So have some faith, you know, have some confidence that things are going to turn out okay. With that six of spades being the karmic balancer, it's like, you know, the card of karma, there's definitely going to be some balancing of the scales in there. So whatever that manifests it as, and it could be with work, it could be with health, it could be, you know, if you've sown the, you know, like that do unto others as you want others to do, you know, whatever you have been sowing, you're going to reap the benefits of. There's going to be some hard work to it because spades and Saturn always indicates, you know, work like the car wash, working at the car wash, you know, work and work, you know, it's like there's going to be more work to it. But, you know, work through it and it'll be good. The Uranian time frame brings you a two of clubs and a king of clubs. The kings are always about mastering yourself. So you're going to be the master of communications. With that two being the argumentative card or the conversation card, it's just, you know, there's kind of the heads up there. It's like, you know, you're going to have a lot of conversations going around. You're going to be in relationship or in partnership somehow with someone, but there's really going to be a lot of communications in the Uranian time frame. And Uranus is really great because, you know, that's the sign of Aquarius. It's going to be unexpected things, going to be definitely lighter and less burdensome than the Saturn time frame was. But you're really going to have a lot of communications, a lot of things going on, but you're mastering yourself in some way. The mastering your thoughts, mastering, you know, where you're going. And then you're in, you've got, in the Neptune time frame, you've got the King of Clubs again. So it's really that 104 days before your birthday is really going to be a lot of, like, scholarship time. It's like, you know, who knows, you may find yourself going back to school. You know, even not sure on that one. We'll figure out what that is. Let's see, in the long range, okay, the five cards that talk about your whole year is your long range, the Pluto and result, which you read as a pair of the environmental and the displacement. So we kind of talked a little bit about the two of clubs because that's the conversation card, the argumentative card again. A lot of conversations, a lot of communications going on this year. You know, maybe it might be the year where you go, you know what, I've learned a lot, and it's like I'm going to make this, you know, trifold brochure, and I'm going to do some presentations. I'm going to teach people what I know, something like that. You've got... Your challenge is the Jack of Diamonds, very creative card, but might mess with your finances. And this is one of those where be careful of the people you draw in, watch your purse strings, watch your belongings, you know, don't leave your purse in the shopping cart type of thing. Just be aware this year of, you know, don't get yourself ripped off, okay? The result card with that, though, is the Four Hearts, which is, you know, one of the lesser marriage cards and really a solution to it is getting stable in a relationship and, you know, having a loving family relationship around you. The environment card and the displacement card are both exactly the same. It's your birth card again. It's the seven of clubs. So, and that's that kind of, you know, that reset, that's kind of like the NASCAR, you know, we're coming up to the restart. So it's like you are getting to, you know, revving your engine, getting ready to go, okay?
Uh-huh.
Which is amazing.
Well,
I mean, is this making any sense?
Definitely a rebirthing year for me.
Lots of changes, all right.
Guess what I got, Kelly? Guess who I have with me, because this is going to be a cool, cool thing. And then I've got to take somebody for Kelly, and I usually don't bust in on Kelly. Well, yes, I do, but sometimes I don't.
It's okay. I'm used to you, Bonnie. It's good. It's all good.
I know. I don't know why anybody wants me to do hosting these shows, because you know what? I mean, my show, I understand. And your show, I can absolutely. I mean, they're all my shows, but I always butt in, and I feel so bad. But, you know, if you want to finish with the reading, I will. I just want to, that I want, just
no,
want to Christine
no,
to know.
Unless she's got some questions. I mean, unless she's got some questions, it's like, you know, that's kind of, you know, a little bit of how her, you know, of how it's going, and it's like, and that's kind of where the rest of her year is going. She's got, you know, she's got her Jupiter time and the rest of it, you know, coming up. So she's got some really, really good stuff. I mean, there's, you know, like I say, there's some potholes in the road, but you know, with the danger, you know, bridge outside, it's like she doesn't have to go try to cross the bridge and, you know, have to have her car towed out of the river there. So she can go, oh, bridge is out. I'm going to make a left hand turn here at Pismo Beach, you know.
Can I ask one question?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Where do you see the relationship that I'm in right now going?
Let's see. Okay, that was the one you had. Okay, because you started a relationship. I see there was an ace of hearts starting in your Mercury time frame. Possibly it's like it's material, and it's you know, it may be short-lived, but on the flip side, it's like for your year-long one, you've got the Four of Hearts, which is kind of stable. I'm kind of iffy about it. I don't know. Bonnie, do you have some insight on that one? I'm kind of like, hey, I don't know.
Well, you know, I heard nowhere, so that's a horrible thing, and I don't mean it meanly. Or anything like that, and I believe what's probably going to come about is the next relationship that you're in. That's why you're seeing those hearts possibly is going to be the one that's more lasting possibly. I don't know anything about you, and I can only tell you because I'm popping in right here is that Spirit said when you said that nowhere, and so that to me means be careful, and I think that's in your time frame anyway, isn't that, Kelly?
That was like I say, for year long, that new love is like, you know, kind of material. But yeah, like what I actually see ahead for her in her 46th year, she's got the five next year on her 46th year. She's got the Five of Hearts as a long range, which means there's going to be, you know, some kind of a split or change of heart. But there's also, it shows there's going to be another person, you know, likely another person coming in. There's a Seven of Hearts and an Eight of Hearts back-to-back. And then with that one, she's got the Queen of Hearts and the Six of Hearts. It's in Saturn, so it's in, she's got a karmic relationship coming in, but the Queen of Hearts is a marriage card with that. So I would agree with you, Bonnie. I think whatever this one is doing is kind of like, it's like, I think the next person coming in is going to be somebody that you will be having a really long relationship with, just simply because where it is in Saturn, it's like there's going to be, you know, you're pulling that person in to work things out with them for the rest of your life, is what I would say. But that's not till next year.
Oh, and sister, I'll tell you what, the rest of your life, just wait for it, okay? Because, you know, that's a long time. But anyway, I do want to tell you, and I hope, you know, we're just always here to help. But I have, do you have anybody in spirit? I have a young lady in spirit that's been here. And if she isn't in spirit, it is a archetype. Because I will tell you that if I could describe what I'm seeing, I asked her who she was. Do you have somebody in your immediate family in spirit?
You said female.
Yeah.
No. I had
a
friend that passed.
Okay, well, maybe this is who it is. She's beautiful. I see this, and usually it's a symbol. She's young. So I'm going to say she looks like, I don't mean she's young like a kid. She looks like a young lady. And sometimes, you know, like somebody's mother will appear to me, but they appear to me at 20 or 30, not at 80. So this is a beautiful, long white robe, beautiful long hair, really, really beautiful skin. It's an archetype. To to me, because then she's radiating such love for you, which means to me either she's an angel or she's somebody that you thought was an angel. So that's where the archetype comes in. And this is what she said to me. And you might want to write this down, because a lot of people, when they hear this, they go, well, actually, you could probably hear it on archive. This person came to me, oh, my God, she's here, and said, you are direct and confident. You're beautiful, radiant, glowing. No one recognizes this. Your inner beauty is as well as your outer beauty, but you don't see this in yourself. Oh, she's here. Oh, my goodness. And she is on top of me. I love it. I love it. But just stand back for a minute. As she also says, you are very leery of people, and you're not friends until you actually trust them. So you might have acquaintances. People might think you like them, but you really are standing back and looking, and you sit back and wait, is what this woman tells me. She's handing me a bunch of jewelry, like beautiful glittering jewelry. I don't know if she wore it or you wore it, but it says that she also says that you have had loss in your life already. So these are messages for you. I don't know who you are, so I can't relate to them. It's you. So if you do relate to them, that's great. And if you go back and listen to it, you might understand it later. But she's so beautiful, this woman. And like I said, that archetype reminds me of an angel.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Do you know what the jewelry is that she's handing me?
I don't.
Do you like jewelry? Most girls do, but it's all glittering too. So I'm really not sure whether she's handing me the jewelry, meaning that felt she was a gem for you, or that she wore jewelry. I'm not quite sure, but she's handing me a bunch of gold jewelry, and she is handing it to me. So she's putting her hands out. So go back and listen. You know, I went to a medium, and they told me all this stuff, and I go, no. And it turned around 3 weeks later. I go, OMG, that's what she meant. So go back and listen, because this woman is here. I can see her, and the art, like I said, she's an archetype, which I'm going to tell you is so beautiful. So whoever this is giving you this message. And she's trying to let you know me know how you are. And I don't know if I can already feel that you've got a lot of those qualities in you. But I hope that we, just go back and listen. And if you want to come back on and let us know, what you found out, or if you know who this is, or, why she came, we would love to hear you.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, good.
All right,
thank
we will
so
talk
much.
To you later, and thank you. So you're very welcome. Have a great day.
Oh, you too. Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, you know what? Bye-bye. You know what? Kelly, it's so crazy because she's still here. So I know that there's a message there, and she just needs to go and listen to it. It's just, it's so funny because remember, I think I told you, I went to a gentleman, he's very famous, Mark Anthony, very nice guy, wrote a great book, and he gave me all this stuff. And I go, no, just like, and he goes, screaming at me, write it down, Bonnie, because you know what's going to happen. And within, I won't even say 3 weeks, all the things he gave me, I started realizing. And he said Tonka train. Well, he saw it as a Tonka train, but it wasn't. It was actually Amtrak, but it was a train. So, a lot of people take you literally. And he kept saying that the man who's showing me this says it means a lot to him. I said, well, I don't know what a Tonka train is. Well, yeah, my dad used to go back every summer on the auto train. But if he just didn't say Tonka, I would have knew train. So, everybody has different symbols, and this woman's showing me a lot of jewelry. So I know eventually we'll get a call back from her saying who the story was from. Anyway, we have 90 seconds left. I did say, Kelly, that you would take another caller if you'd like to. I am going to step out, but I can put her on for you. You already have the board, correct?
Don't hang up on me, because if you hang up,
oh,
if
no, I won't.
Hang up.
No, I won't hang up on you. I'm just going to leave you. So let me tell everybody. Hi, everyone. 760, please stay. Everybody can stay on. Kelly's going to keep doing the reading, but I will tell you, you won't hear it on the radio. You'll hear it on the archive. I want to thank everybody. Yep. I love being back. Yep. You know me. I just love spirit. I live in spirit. I want spirit. I love spirit messages. And tomorrow we have a cool lady, Laura Pierrette. She talks language of light. This woman, don't miss her. She's fabulous. She heals. She'll heal. She takes callers, a lot of callers. She will be on for 2 hours, and I'm going to tell you that the people who had feedback from the last time she was on were crying. They were in such awe of what she does.
Yeah.
So please stay tuned. Kelly, stay here. I'll be there for a little while, I hope. But if not, please join us, 1 o'clock. Laura Pierrette will be on tomorrow. We love you, and thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Kelly, I'm going to put your next client on.
Alrighty.
Okay, 760, you are on with Kelly.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Hello.
Thank you so much.
Can I ask your name?
My name. Yes, it's Shelley.
What's your name? Hi, Shelley. I'm going to hand you.
Shelley.
Is it Shelley or did I? Shelley?
Yes.
I'm going to hand you over to Shelley. So happy I could get you on, even though people can't hear it on the radio, they will be able to hear it on recording.
Okay.
And you have a few people that, you'll be able to hear it also. It'll stay on our archives. I'm going to hand you over to Kelly because I'm going to step away for a few minutes. Kelly, I'm not leaving the board. I'm just leaving you in the meantime.
You.
So
thank
go
you.
For
right.
it.
And I do want to say thank you to all of our callers because, you know what, we appreciate you guys calling in because, you know, that makes our show. It's like you guys make our show, and it's like, it's, you know, just give a big shout-out to, you know, and big thanks to all of our callers. We love you. Love us in here. That's Bonnie's line. All righty. Shelley, what is your month and your date?
The month and day is July 17th.
Ooh, Cancer. Okay. And how old are you this year?
Actually, I'm 55 now, going to be 56.
Okay. Right now you're 55. You're going to be about in the middle of your year here. Alrighty. But, and I do encourage people to call back, you know, after your birth date, you know, because I'll go ahead and do this and just kind of see where you're at like right now. July 17th. Wow. It is one of those days. Okay. You are... Jack of Clubs is your birth card, and your planetary ruler is that Queen of Spades again. Wow. So everything I said about the, you know, about the Queen of Spades as being a planetary ruler, it's like that applies to you, okay? It's going to apply in a Cancerian way, but, you know, pretty much same type of stuff. It's like, you know, gives you those same I'll just do that first there. Here we go. Gives you the same attributes, you know. It's like, and it's how you present yourself to the world. Really, that you know, encourages you to make. You're a hard worker. You know, you take care of other people. You got good organizational skills. Attracted, you know, to work that other people kind of go, oh, really? You know, you do that. Gives you a strong work-oriented nature. But just again, you know, be careful. You don't find yourself, you know, feeling like the scullery maid, okay? It's like the Cinderella syndrome, okay? Or if you're in a position where you're, you know, the employer, the boss, you can be really tough on your employees. But on the spiritual side, it's the highest card of self-mastery and really gives you that special opportunity to master your life through self-reflection and understanding. So let's see. With that being said, let's see what the Jack of Clubs has to say for itself. And it is the mentally creative card. And here's the, you know, here's the good, the bad, and the ugly, because this one kind of goes, you know, you got to know all of it. And it's like, I like the way Dream Master put it. She said, you know, you got to acknowledge those to work through them. So, it, you know, creative, dishonest, or a mixture of both, you know. But I'm going to say where you're at, you probably, you know, work through that, the the more, I'll say, dishonesty tends to be with people who are in their younger years, you know, because you have enough boo-boos and you go, I don't want to be this way because the karmic boomerang just whacked me in the head again. So I'm going to walk the straight and narrow. But it's a card of mental and financial creativity. You're energetic. You're productive. You've got a brilliant mind. You're far ahead of the common person in society. You are a person of the Aquarian age, kind of androgynous, you know, not totally male, not totally female, you know, but you really got a balance in your mind. You know, yes, we wear a female body or a male body, but, you know, you've really got that balance of energies. You're progressive. You're on the cutting edge of the evolution of our society and our world. You've got one of the finest minds in the deck, and you can always make a good living with it. You get involved in things that are entrepreneurial, you know, this is usually really good for you. Men do that more often than the women do. But if your work allows you some creative expression and you can literally, you know, find, like in racing, you can find that groove and really enjoy it. You can make, you know, when you're having fun, yeah, do what you love and the money will follow. That's a book title, right? You can make a great deal of money at the same time you're doing what you really love. You're mentally brilliant, but sometimes it's a fixed card. You know, you tend to be a little bit fixed there and prone to arguments, and that's represented kind of by that two of clubs in Mars. It's Mars is the conversation card, but it's also the argumentative card. In high school, it would have served you well on the debate team. It's like you could have blown everybody out of the water. Sometimes you don't see that it's your own love of debate that sometimes is the cause of disagreements with others. So, you know, you'll debate with people when you can, and you enjoy the mental exercise because that's what it is for you. Sometimes your own mind gets in the way of seeing the truth, if that makes sense. But it also gives you the capacity to finish what you start and to stand up for what you believe in. With that royal card, you dislike pettiness. And you can sometimes be impatient with the failings of others. You really need respect and a position that allows your brilliant mind free rein to create and explore. You're never at a loss for ideas, some of which is going to bring you huge financial returns. On the flip side, though, you know, here's that other side. Some jacks can be, you know, dishonest and irresponsible. So, you know, just make sure you're not being that. And I'm pretty sure, you know, the people who call into these shows, it's like you know, chances are you have worked through that, you know, that area, if you ever had a problem with it, and it's like, yeah, that's just, you know, pretty much it's like, that's on the low side, it's going to stay there, and you're going to keep that heads-up moment, okay? Mm-hmm. You can see things from so many levels. Just, you know, and just kind of, it's like philosophy. It's like, you know, nothing's really right or wrong. It's just, you know, another way of looking at things. It's just another facet on the diamond. And you could excel at being a librarian and telling stories to children, okay? Things are really, you know, you're really good with the stories. But you don't get away with things if you spin, you know, Ben Franklin applies here. It's like, you know, oh, what a tangled web we weave if first we practice to deceive, you know. So it's like, yeah, and you've probably worked through that and gone, not worth the problems. You've got that Saturnian hand always reminding you of the boundaries that keeps you balanced and fair. You're essentially really a good, you know, giving person, even though argumentative at times, you're loving and friendly to the people you meet. In relationship, you have such a strong and fixed mental approach. That in itself is, you know, really a challenge because mental approaches don't always work in the realms of love. You know, it's kind of like trying to, you know, take your love life and go, here's my college class, and 9 I'm doing this, and 10 I'm doing this. It's like it totally doesn't work that way, as you know. You need somebody who is your friend first and who is going to allow you some freedom to be yourself. If you have that in a partner, you are, like, faithful, devoted, et cetera. You know, you're going to be really happy. Often you have to contend with the ill health of someone that you love, either, you know, a mate or a family member, or the other side of that is you might have health problems of your own. That's going to become a prominent theme in a relationship. In most cases, health issues can be related to emotional causes, whether it's family, you know, friends or whoever it was. Okay, so again, that's always with the clubs. There's always that element of, you know, really, you want to watch your thoughts, guard your thoughts, you know, because what you know, as you think, so it's going to come to be, type of thing. Okay, you really, really emphasize that. Just, you know, as you watch your thoughts, guard your thoughts, because, you know, what you can conceive and believe, you can achieve. That's Napoleon Hill from a long time ago. All right. And this year, okay, on your 55th year, you've got a lot of creative energies going on. You've got a three of spades in that long range. You just have to make sure that, you're keeping it positive, because otherwise it can be worry and stress. You know, threes are very creative, but if you don't have that creative outlet, you can get stressed, you can get worried, and you fritter that energy away. You know, like the hamster on the wheel at night. It's like, you know, you just kind of go around circles with it. So be proactive and just say, okay, instead of letting myself worry about this, I'm going to say, okay, what's the upside? What's the best thing that can happen instead of what's the worst thing? You know, that kind of stuff. Let's see. With your Pluto and result pair, the challenge is the four of spades, which is like it can be called the workaholic card. It's like this is a year where, you know, whatever you're doing, and sometimes, you know, people go, oh, well, you know, I don't have a job or whatever, but it's like you know, your work is not necessarily what you draw a paycheck for. There's things in life, you know, that we do that are really our primary reason for being here, which is our, quote, you know, our soul work. And you don't necessarily draw a paycheck for that. But whatever you're doing, it's like, you know, can be in the area of work and health and career, that kind of stuff, or just your life work. The result card for this, or the resolution for it, is the King of Hearts, which is mastering your emotions. So somehow or other tied in with whatever's going on, when you master your emotions, when you really get a grip on that, it's going to kind of smooth everything else out. You've got an environment card of a nine of diamonds, and that's, ironically, that's your blessed time, you know, like the whole year. And the nine talks about, you know, things closing. There's going to be closures in finances, or closures in values, changing of values. So something's going to happen. Yeah, giddy up and go. What the heck was that? Yeah, something's going to happen with things that are closing, either financially or closing in your values. There's going to be some shifts, some big shifts this year. Your displacement time is a Jack of Spades, and again, that's just it's like the spiritual initiate card, it's the actor card, it's also the thief card. It's got, you know, several names there because Jacks are so versatile. So I would say just, you know, again, showing the dangling pocketbook. Yeah, just be careful you don't have a pickpocket, or you don't have somebody, you know, run by and grab your purse off your arm, you know, that kind of thing. Just really be highly aware, just kind of this whole year, that you're not taking advantage of, you know, like in either petty theft, or, you know, you get ripped off in some way, okay? Let's see. Let's look at where your whole year is here just for the moment, and that is July 17th. That's Cancerian. Okay, your Mercury time frame, of course, 7:17. I was like, oh, that's going on. That's pretty cool. Okay, Venus. Your Venus time frame starts in, let's see, 9:07. I always have something about September. September 7th is your Venus time. That's when that starts. Your Mars time starts October 29th, 2 days before Halloween. Jupiter starts for you December 20th, so right in the middle of, you know, the holiday seasons, which, you know, hopefully makes them a good holiday. Saturn starts February 11th, a few days there before Valentine's Day. The Uranian time frame starts on 4/4, April 4th coming up. And that's you're actually in the Saturn time frame right now. So you're going through the hardest time of your year right now. Neptune comes along May 26th, and then it finishes up, goes till your birthday is up. So let's just kind of look at what's going on for you in Saturn this year and where this is at. Okay. You've got one of these nine cards again. You've got the Nine of Clubs and the Jack of Diamonds. Okay, Nine of Clubs, and I'm going to be a little more specific about this because it is in Saturn. Really want to know what that's bringing in, because those are, you know, nines are kind of challenging. And the Jacks can be, you know, it's like they can be the good guys, bad guys, you know, good cop, bad cop. It could see you experiencing frustration and worry, and that state of mind could affect your health. Or it's possible that you worrying about something causes a business loss, or, you know, adversely affects your health. Any negative thoughts you've been holding about yourself and others could be at the root of your problems. Again, back to the mind. There is a healing potential now if you take responsibility for your mind and just develop those better attitudes and beliefs. Bobby McFerrin, don't worry, be happy. Community or selfless service can also, you know, help that, get that creativity going. It indicates something important in your life coming to an end. And because it falls in Saturn, it might be something you would resist and dislike this ending more than usual. For that reason, it can represent, you know, some kind of personal challenge and or learning opportunity for you, one that will ultimately expand your view of yourself and your role. It's just getting through it. It's like the little Linus character on Peanuts, you know, it's like when Lucy had to take his blanket and go wash it and dry it, and she ripped it away from him, you know, and ran it through the wash and dry it, and he sat there, you know, just kind of shaking and a little nervous wreck until he got his blanket back. But that's how things can feel under a 9 under a Saturn influence. It feels like your blanket has been ripped away from you, and you weren't ready to let go of it, okay? Bear in mind that the difficulties or challenges can be helped if, you know, I'm going to really take a look at that Jack and how that Jack factors in there, because that's going to be key with that. It's a Jack of Diamonds in Saturn. And with that, the Jacks are in the royal court, but they're also like, you know, you can have financial success through salesmanship, creativity, or initiation into higher values. And when it's in Saturn, it can represent a businessman or associate, you know, somebody that you might have some obligations with or problems with. And it can be a karmic relationship, and again, one that requires hard work and patience for success because it is in Saturn. Really necessary to regulate and balance your affairs at this time. Creative projects to make money might seem burdensome, but it's a necessary part of establishing yourself and future success. You're going to have success, but again, under Saturn, you know, you're really, you know, you have to work for it. And there's the caveat. I knew it was there. Just kind of beware of men of the diamond suit, especially ones who might be younger or approaching you either from a romantic or a creative viewpoint. They could prove.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I should be aware of what?
Okay. Be aware of young men like in the diamonds suit. You know, it's like this is where it would be nice if people wore their birth cards around, especially someone who's like younger or might be approaching you either with romance or, you know, creative point of view, something like that. Somehow or other, that person might prove burdensome in some way during this period. And it's like just kind of, you know, again, I just get, you know, watch your wallet. It's like, don't overspend, you know, don't overspend. Don't get a toy boy and overspend on him, okay? You know, something like that, all right?
Well, that sounds good. I mean, not that I would, you know, do that or anything, just that it sounded good, that's all.
Right. Oh, goodness, all righty. Let's see here. Where'd it go? Okay. Two five ups. Nope. Oh, got the wrong Jack. Okay, wait a minute. I was going, wait a minute. That wasn't what I was reading there. Next to the Jack of Clubs. Okay, there we go. That looks where we're at. But what it does show, you've got in after Saturn in the Uranian time frame, you've got a Seven of Clubs and you've got a Four of Hearts. In fact, you got the Four of Hearts twice. It's in Uranus and it's in Neptune. So that talks about, you know, stability and having some stability in love, and combined with that King of Hearts as a result card, you may very well find yourself, you know, somehow or other in a stable relationship or, you know, stabilizing love. It's like anytime we have like the fourth, think of, you know, like the chairs we sit on. You know, we sit on a four-legged chair. You know, we have four legs under tables. You know, dogs and cats have four legs. You know, but anything that's a four really represents stability, and you're really wanting stability of the heart and romance, whatever that is. So whether you're married, it could be, you know, really having your marriage solid, you know, a solid foundation, or if you're not in a relationship, it might be finding that someone might, you know, show up on your doorstep. okay, right, yeah. However, you know, it's like it's better to get out of your own door if you want to find that relationship and go out, you know, be in the community, do things that you like, do things that you're interested in, and birds of a feather flock together. And when you're doing things that you like, you're going to be more likely to find that person that they're trying to bring to you, okay?
Mm.
Hoping that's making sense.
Oh, okay. So what's interesting is I just ended a relationship a couple of days ago with a Nine of Clubs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Person.
That's amazing.
Holy moly.
I know, you're great,
possible.
Kelly. You know what I've got to tell you? I've got to tell you something. I got to tell you something. What I'm getting on you is, I mean, I'm picking up things, is that you, they're saying you don't really need a man. You just want one, but you really don't need one. You're pretty strong in your own right. And that it's kind of like they all have disappointed you. And that's what I'm picking up. So it's just, I didn't even write this to be, because I've got, you know, this is, you know, I have got, they're just coming through real quick. And it's amazing that I see you. Yeah, I see the person who's bringing it to me is pretty strong in her own right. And, you know, that's the impression I get and the one I'm going to stay with. So keep going for the reading, Kelly, because we might not have a whole lot more time on this.
Time, okay.
So go ahead, please.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
The flippant saying that I got there was like, you're like, you know, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle in your case sometimes, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I really do want that stable relationship, you know, strong or not,
right.
Strong, whether I be strong or not, and I do believe that I am a strong woman.
Yes.
I also love being in the right kind of relationship. I hold space for that.
And you definitely, definitely can draw that
yeah.
in. So it's like, I would say look at that Uranus time frame, because whatever date I told you that was starting is
yeah,
like Uranus before. Time. Okay, yeah. So, you know, this is kind of like, you know, you release this one, so it's like, you know, time to go out and turn the earth over, you know, time to spade up the garden a little bit, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, bury that one good and refresh yourself and, you know, really, you know, cleanse out, clear out and make way for this
yeah.
new one and really be clear. Sit down, I mean, literally sit down and write a letter to yourself and say, you know, if God were going to give me the kind of, you know, here's the kind of person that if I could mail order, if I had a mail order catalog and I could mail order somebody with these literally M-A-L-E, thank you guys, God, they're so funny today. If I could mail order somebody, these are the qualities I want. These are, you know, this is the type of, you know, relationship I'm looking for, and write those down. And then one step further, post that on your, you know, either in the corner of, I'm going to use some feng shui. Oh, they're doing this. Okay. Find the southwest corner of your house or your apartment and put that list in your southwest corner, because that is your relationship corner. And so mm-hmm. Take a good look at your, get your compass out, take a good look at that, because whatever is in your southwest corner, you know, if you've got, you know, clutter there, if you've got whatever there, it's like, that's the kind of person
yeah.
that's kind of going to be bringing in. So, you know, put some pictures there, put some, it's kind of like an orange, think of a terracotta color. Put like peonies, you know, there, or either pictures of peonies or something like that in a vase.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things are bringing in that feng shui energy, because that there's something with that with you. It's like, you know, get Lillian Tu has a book on feng shui. Get that and check that out, because you absolutely have the ability to run that, you know, key through your house, and it's, you know, really make it really rev it up.
I'm going to let you guys continue, and I'm going to step out again. But I just want to tell you, just because you're strong, and when I said that you don't need a man, you want one. That's the best way to have one, though, because to need a man would mean that you couldn't stand on your own 2 feet. And a lot of women think they need men. Well, actually, if they work on themselves to really be strong, they would want a man versus need one.
Yes.
And I think that's the best of all relationships. So I'm going to give you a big hug.
Thank
I'm going to wrap
you,
my
Bonnie.
Little arms around you and tell you that I adore you, and good luck. I wish I could stay. I am going to leave the line open for Kelly, but please
Thank
join
you.
Us. You know, on the show is on, and have fun, because Kelly is great. So I love you, Kelly.
I'll
be back soon to go out. But good luck, guys.
Right.
I just want to say goodbye. Thanks. Bye.
All righty.
Okay,
thank you. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, Kelly, I do have a question that you mentioned, the three of spades, you know, the creativity team.
Right.
And it's interesting, because this year I really have come to an agreement with myself to stop shoving aside the creative part of myself. That's
awesome.
So really fertile. You know, it's like, hello, how loudly do we need to knock? And I keep going for, because I'm looking for employment, I keep going for or wanting to find creative jobs, and it seems like I'm not picking up on them. I'm not, you know, so is there something I need to do in order to connect, or is it a matter of timing?
Okay, yeah. I'm just going to give a little more depth in your long range. With that three space, what it really, you know, what it's talking about is somehow you're going to be divided this year, either in work or health, because the three space is one of the most creative cards in the deck. With all threes, it can be challenging to keep that energy of the card from turning into worry, indecision, and stress. See, when you're looking for a job, that's the low side. And it does. It really depends on how you use the energy of that card. You're facing a crossroads in your life. You might be trying to do too many things at the same time, too many irons in the fire. You're really feeling that urge to be creative and explore a lot of avenues at the same time. If it's handled successfully, you could be more productive than ever. The trick is keeping your energy high and being really clear that you are doing two or more things at once. You know, don't expect yourself to settle into one path right now. You know, it's go with the flow. Do things to stay relaxed and at peace with yourself. You know, really, I can't emphasize enough how much, you know, the positive mindset is. Sometimes things happen in spades, you know, literally in spades, that we cannot escape from, though it's likely you're going to be successful in that division. Just keep that awareness on your health. You know, working out, whatever it is you do, you know, stay healthy. See that any problems in that area are likely the result of that deep conflict, you know, or that division inside yourself. When you resolve the conflict, you're going to resolve the problem. In its highest expression, this is the artist card, and it could give you a lot of success in one or more of, like, the artistic lines of work. Self-expression is really, you know, just essential to achieve success with that card. The key word is it's a year of high creativity, which must be handled carefully to keep it from turning to stress and health problems. So, I'm thinking, okay, what they brought in was if you haven't seen the little DVD of Rhonda Byrne's, you know, that the guy with the rock, you know, the gratitude rock, get yourself something, you know, people sometimes call them a worry stone, but get yourself an attitude of gratitude rock, you know, get yourself a rock and go, okay, this is going to be my worry stone. If I find myself being, oh, my goodness, that didn't work out, or, oh, I'm not, you know, finding anything, you know, whatever. It's like rub your rock and go, thank you, God, you know, I'm alive on this planet. Thank you, God, you know, count your blessings. Literally, count your blessings. The other thing is really a really cool speaker. Some people love him. Some people hate him. I really enjoy the guy is Joel Osteen. He's got a sermon out there.
I knew you were going to bring him up.
Okay, but it's called the I Am, and he said two words, I Am, and he says whatever follows those two words, I Am, you know, that's what you are speaking into your life. So make it good. You know, sit down and write your I Am statements. You know, I am powerful. I am, you know, I am blessed. I am, you know, positive. I am, you know, it's like I am finding the job that's perfect for me. You know, I am open, and sometimes you have to be open to it. Sometimes we find that opportunities knocking, and we're sitting there in our robe and slippers and going, I don't want to answer the door like this. And by the time you run to the bathroom and get cleaned up, it's like opportunity passed. So it's kind of like, you know, get up, get ready. When opportunity knocks, throw that door open and go, yes, I am ready, you know, that kind of thing, okay? So it's really, it's making the preparations. And I remember this, I don't know where that one came from, but there was a lady that was, you know, looking for a relationship, and literally she went through, she looked at the clutter in her garage. She had a two-car garage, but she had clutter. So, you know, she went through, she cleaned out the clutter in her garage. She made space for a second car. She went through her closet. She took out half of the stuff out of her closet and left this open, big open closet space so someone would have room to come in. She went through and made space in another person, you know, for another person in her house. In the same way, make that, you know, however you can do that, make that space for that job to come in. You know, kind of sit there and, you know, you've got some pretty good meditative abilities, you know, some intuitive abilities. So kind of sit there in your feng shui space and your, the grid on that, the business and career stuff, that is your northwest corner. And that's metal. That's, you know, talks about the father business. So if you can do that meditation, find the northwest part and the site of your house and metallic things, you know, like gold color things. It can be gray. It can be, you know, the color of money, you know, something like that. And really, and face that direction. It's like, you know, if you feel like it, you know, do just a little white candle, something like that. But sit there and really focus on it. And it's the same thing. It's like, here's the job that I would really like to have. And it's like, and always put in there, you know, God, this or something better. you know, always. This is something better. And something, you know, the job of my dreams is coming to me. You know, that kind of stuff. And really open that and believe it. It's like, I go back to Napoleon Hill because I love that saying. I mean, he was back like in the 30s. But he wrote Think and Grow Rich. And it's not just about money. It's about the CBAs. It's, you know, the CBAs is what you can conceive and believe you can achieve. So it's like, instead of the ABCs, it's CBA. So it's like, conceive it in your mind, believe it, achieve it. So it is. It really is the power of positive thinking. I can't tell you how much I keep doing this every day. It's like, I'm on the path too, like everybody else. And it's like, I share what I find as I go along, and it's just, it's really amazing. It really is just truly astounding what you find out when you try it. And it's just, you know, you make small steps, and as you make small steps, you go, this works. It's like, it's that aha moment, you know. It's like, and then when you have the small successes, you go, now I'm going to take a big step, you know. but it's the small steps at first, you know. Start with the small steps and work up. But it's like, keep moving forward, which is another Disney movie. Meet the Robinsons. Yes. Keep moving forward, you know.
Speaking of moving, that's exactly what I need to do, because I'm actually, because I left a relationship, we were kind of without a home, and so I had to, believe it or not, go back to my ex-husband's place, which was the only place that I could think of where I could actually have shelter until I find, and without a job, there is no money for me to get. So, you know, it's Saturn time for me, I heard you say, and, you know, between the third space, you know, a little worry and that kind of thing. And I understand, you know, the meditation going into a higher vibrational space, which which I'm making a promise to myself that I will do more and more. Does this part mean that this is going to be a rough period until?
You have the vibration of two cards this year in Mars, in the Mars time frame, and they do a watercolor wash. It's not like, you know, this 52 days, boom, this is going to happen. It does tend to be, you know, like a watercolor wash for the whole year. You've got the Five of Spades, the card of the Wanderer in Mars, which is the deals with males and masculine stuff. And it's like, if you're going to relocate, a Five of Spades, you've also got right next to it in the Jupiter, the Five of Diamonds. So you do have that moving energy. It's like you do have that, you know, doubles, and it's like you're going to have, you know, somehow or other that move, you know, tied up with a man, and that Jupiter, it's going to be a blessed thing, because you've also, with that Jupiter, you had the Eight of Diamonds. So, you know, it's, you know, any move that you make is going to be blessed, and it's like you're going to have financial blessings with it. So it's like, yeah, it's like that move is actually going to be, in the long run, a really good thing.
And so that, do I need to wait until this Saturn period passes for me to actually expect?
No, you don't, you know, no, you don't. It's like, you know, it's just, you know, if you got plans, it's like, you know, when things fall out, it's like whatever, you know, because like I say, those two actual time frames have already passed, but that influence is there for the whole year. So it's like, you know, go ahead. When the spirit moves you, so to speak, literally, when the spirit moves you and that opportunity comes up, that's what I'm saying. It's like, don't be sitting there with your, you know, hair and curlers in the robe when opportunity is knocking at the door. It's like when you have that opportunity to move, because it may come up sooner than you think. Be ready.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So out of the rigid thinking and into the realm of possibilities.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, and make it a good one, you know, and it, like I say, if you've ever listened to Joel, it's like, you know, if you're going to dream, make it a good one, you know, I love that one, like the widow with the small vial of oil, you know, she had like about a quart jug of oil. And, like, you know, her sons were going to be sold into slavery. I think it was Elijah. And it's like, you know, and he said, go, you know, don't borrow a few. Go out and borrow several jugs. So she started pouring the oil, and she poured gallons from that. So it's like, and he says, I know the people, you know, here at Lakewood, it's like they have radical faith. It's like, you know, you tell them to go get that, they're going to be calling Home Depot and going, I need 2,000 jugs. So it's like, if you're going to dream, dream big. If you're, you know, and he said, you know, if you only have, if you only have a 10-inch frying pan, you know, and you're throwing back the big fish because you've only got, you know, a small frying pan, get a bigger frying pan. You know, yeah. If you've only got a 5-gallon bucket, do yourself a favor. Go get a dump truck or build yourself a swimming pool and be prepared for the blessings. So it's like you've got to widen out, and it will let those Jupiter blessings come in. It's like make room for them. When you make the space, it comes. So make that's what I was talking about. It's like make the space. Somehow or the make the space for the relationship, make the space for that job, and it's like it'll happen.
Okay.
But, you know, be proactive. Very much.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That is definitely the case right now, and I'm being extremely proactive. So I think I just need a little bit of an adjustment in visioning.
Right. Yes, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So
thank
take some
you,
time and do that. You betcha. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like thank you for calling in and call back and, you know, keep us posted and let us know how it goes.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kelly, for staying on.
Oh, no problem. Okay. Glad
you right.
share thoughts and ideas. That's what we're here for.
Have
okay. an awesome one.
All right. Terrific. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you next time.
All righty. And this will be for you, like Bonnie said, this will be an archive so you can go back and listen to it. So, you know, download it, all that good stuff. So, all righty.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Have an awesome one. Bye. All right. Well, I don't know if Bonnie is still there. Bonnie, if you're listening, it's about to hang up on you here. So it's like, again, you know, thank you guys. You know, we really thank our listeners and our callers. Our callers, you know, you guys, you make the show. You really do. It's like that's what we're here for, and you know we're so glad that you call in and talk to us. And Bonnie's phrase, "Love is in the air," and we love you guys, and have a really awesome rest of the day.